The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
It is Wednesday, July 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 7.8 struck off the coast of Alaska early Wednesday morning. The earthquake was centered 60 miles south-southeast of Perryville, Alaska, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The quake is considered shallow at about 6 miles deep. Shallow earthquakes often cause the most damage compared to the ones that are deeper, regardless of the strength. A tsunami warning was issued following the earthquake. Sirens could be heard blaring in videos posted on social media as residents heeded warnings to evacuate.
Did you say shallow or Shiloh, Kathy?
Same word.
Shiloh.
The warning was in effect for South Alaska and the Alaska Peninsula, Pacific Coast, from Kennedy Entrance to Unimak Pass, according to the Tsunami Warning Center. But all tsunami warnings and advisories were canceled early Wednesday morning, according to the National Weather Service.
Kathy, when I was at, my wife and I went to Alaska, and basically our delayed honeymoon, went to Anchorage and Seward. And Seward, after the Good Friday earthquake, which was an 8.6, I think, a tsunami came roaring into that harbor, and even this is just years ago, this is how long after it, the wood up to a certain level, you can see it all the way around in the harbor valley, is petrified.
Wasn't it like the 1950s, right? Early 60s or something?
I'm not exactly sure. Yeah,
You could see the line
where the tsunami had come in and raged into the area. Wild. That's the kind of force you're dealing with.
So there have been at least 11 aftershocks ranging from magnitudes of 3.9 to 6.1. As parents and students in the tri-state area anxiously await word on what school will look like in the fall, three school districts proposed their alternate plans on Tuesday night. The classrooms in every room within the Radnor Township School District will look different, spaced out, and rather bare. If the state remains in the green or yellow phase of Governor Tom Wolf's COVID-19 reopening plan, students will be allowed inside. Radnor officials are considering five different plans for grades K through 5 and two possible options for 6 through 12. One plan includes all students in the building, while another includes a hybrid schedule of in-class and remote instruction. There will also be the option for full-time virtual learning taught by Radnor teachers for every student K through 12. Nothing is set in stone at this point, but the administration says if the state would go back to the red phase, everyone goes back to online learning. The Colonial School District superintendent recommended a hybrid plan on Tuesday night, which includes 2 days of in-class instruction and 3 days of virtual learning. They will also have a full-time virtual option available for students. On Monday night, the Lower Marion School District was planning to vote to bring all students back, but new guidance from health officials now recommend students to be 6 feet apart, so they're delayed in that vote. Cherry Hill and Camden School District superintendents held a joint press conference on Tuesday. They say that they're considering hybrid options of in-class and virtual instruction.
We had in the Souderton School District, where my kids go, they had a Zoom presentation,
right,
where everybody could watch, and Frank Gallagher, who's the superintendent, they presented everything, and so we've got some choices to make. But yeah, it's you have options. It's, you know, yeah, you can do at home learning, and if you do go there to the school, you know, it's going to be distancing and masks, and they have restrictions on lunch and all kinds of protocols that that they brought us up to speed on.
Have you had any parents in your area? Because I've heard this happening. I'm not sure if it's how wide it is. I guess they're calling it micro schooling, where a collective of families get together put on their own mini school.
Haven't heard about that.
Yeah, so like some members can go to work and they can switch off and do that.
It's not a bad idea. That's the problem. What are these parents who have to go to work? What are they going to do?
Yeah, that was one of the big issues.
Solution, which is to sort of kind of have like 7 or 8 families, and then one would take the teaching someday. And I don't know exactly the specifics of it, but you guys haven't heard of it. So.
I mean, and it might work out, because I know, at least in my house, like, your own kid doesn't want to listen to you. They'll listen to other people and they'll listen to the teacher. But
right?
Jace literally thinks I'm an idiot. Like, he's like, you don't know that. That's wrong. I'm like, I did go to school, too. I went to college. And he's like, that's wrong.
Dad. It is a hard bridge to cross when your mom and dad and suddenly your teacher, unless you are a teacher. And we did talk to some people around the coolest teacher period in June, where, you know, they were saying, okay, so I'm a teacher, and they were running it like a school scenario.
Yes.
But it's hard to make that jump when you're a kid.
Yeah, whether it's your mom or dad.
The boundaries have to be clear on I am teacher from this time to this time. And some kids, like Chase, aren't having
it. No, he's not having it.
You're not going to do it.
He's like, you're so dumb, you have no idea what you're talking about.
You're so dumb.
Wait, Kath, real quick. Tell the story about when he put his hands on your cheeks and leaned in.
Oh, it was when he was little. So we were talking about the other day writing down what your kids say and having that. And I said that...
saving quotes from them.
Yeah, and I said that Bill Weston's wife, Connie, gave me this little book, and for the first 5 years, each day you entered something. So I forget how old he was, maybe four or something, but I have written in there that he put his hands on my cheeks and, like, pulled my face in, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's so cute. He's going to give me a kiss. And he looked at me and went, you an idiot.
You an idiot?
Wow. Where is she getting these?
You're calling me an idiot? With that grammar? You're calling me an idiot?
You don't even know how to wipe your butt. Who's an idiot?
You are an idiot. You are. Yeah, you are an idiot.
Nick and I ended up going through he went through some of the stuff that Ben said. We were reading it after we talked about that. So, yeah, there were some funny things in there.
Wow.
New Jersey has added Delaware back to its list of states from which travelers are requested to self-quarantine for 14 days. 10 states were added to the list on Tuesday, bringing the total to 31. The advisory applies to any person arriving from a state with a positive test rate higher than 10 per 100,000 residents or a state with 10% or higher positivity rate over a 7-day rolling average.
Hey, this is good news for New Jersey. Less Delaware drivers in New Jersey.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got to see the glasses half full. Mm-hmm.
Except Delaware is pissed. The governor was like, what the hell? He's like,
knock it off.
Yeah, he's like, you put us on, you take us off, now we're back on the list.
You an idiot.
Last week, the New Jersey Health Commissioner said airlines will notify passengers traveling to New Jersey about the survey at their point of departure and again in flight. The survey will collect information on travelers' residence and destination, which will then be forwarded to the appropriate county health department.
So as you're getting off the plane, they're going to go, good luck. Yeah.
The county will contact the travelers, she said. Murphy reported 424 new cases and 22 more deaths on Tuesday. New Jersey now has a confirmed 13,763 deaths from COVID-19, with another 2,000 considered probable. The total number of cases exceeds 177,000, but the state has seen a significant drop in the last several weeks in the number of positive cases, hospitalizations, and patients requiring intensive care. In sports this morning... When NFL training camps open next week, teams' rosters will include a maximum of 80 players as opposed to the usual 90 in an effort to help enforce social distancing measures in team facilities. The NFL and the union also officially agreed to the league's plan to eliminate all preseason games for the 2020 season. Players and team personnel will be tested every day for the first 2 weeks of training camp, then every other day, as long as the team's positive test rate remains under 5%. The Eagles trimmed their roster by another two players, leaving them with 87 players on their 90-man roster. Center Keegan Render was waived, and veteran cornerback Trevor Williams was released. This comes one day after they waived undrafted wide receiver and former college quarterback Khalil Tate. And the National Hockey League released its first COVID-19 test results since training camps opened on July 13th. Only two players tested positive. The league said that 2,618 tests were administered to more than 800 players. Both players self-isolated and are following the protocols set forth by the CDC and Health Canada. The timeline for a return to the team greatly varies if the player was symptomatic or asymptomatic. Players are tested every other day along with daily checks for fever and symptoms. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath, and welcome to a glorious Wednesday, a gloriously, sickeningly hot man. I don't know about you guys, we had severe storms come through our area last night. I guess they must have been isolated, but
they must have been like
house shaking thunder.
Really?
Yes.
So I woke up and there was a little bit of moisture on like the patio, and I'm like, oh, something must have happened during the night. But I had some windows open and nothing came through. So I'm glad we didn't get what you had because we had half the windows of the house open upstairs.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Woke me up. So we have more scattered thunderstorms expected today and tomorrow. So heads up, some of those could be severe. With Wednesdays, come a chance for you to win some good stuff. And we have today for the secret text word a free month of Philo and an Amazon Fire Stick.
Whoa!
And Steve, it's Christmas in July on the Hallmark Channel with holiday movies 24/7 through Sunday.
Yeah, I've been watching. They've had them all along, but now they have an actual marathon, Preston.
Yeah, all the time. It was over the weekend, and I was walking through the house, and I go, why am I whistling Jingle Bells? Why? I swear to God. Yeah, yeah. And it's because Rochelle was watching these goddamn Christmas shows.
Please understand. I get your ire. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I don't. The power over me is irrefutable.
People love them.
Yes.
People love them. All right. So we have a chance for you to win this. Just text the word secret to 39333, and we'll see if you win later on. Two ways. We'll ask you to call in and give us the word that we bounce back to you, and we'll also grab a random text or two. So a couple of different ways to do that. Guest-wise, we got one. It's a big one, and I mean that in more ways than one. It's Bert Kreischer on our show. Yesterday, we made the announcement. It's the return of live entertainment in Philadelphia. It is the live-in, drive-in in conjunction with us and Live Nation. And one of the events that's coming up, actually the first one, the Preston and Steve Show present Bert Kreischer. Wait, is that the first one?
Yeah.
August 16th. Okay, so tickets go on sale this Friday. And it's going to be drive-in style
at
Citizens Bank Park, outside in the parking lot. Bert has done a few of these live events like this, so he's seasoned. He knows how to pull it off, and that's going to be the first one. So we're excited, so we'll talk to Bert about that later on this morning around 9 o'clock.
It's cool, Preston. They made a big announcement on the news this morning on television, and they said, Bert Kreischer is coming.
No.
Seriously? Bert Kreischer.
That's better than Bert Chrysler.
Okay. I don't know. Bert Kreischer.
Well, we'll ask him.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to him around 9 o'clock. We're looking forward to that. These things are more taking place. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. I have a lot of entertainment stories, like a gazillion celebrity birthdays today as we go throughout. After I ask the stupid question, give some away. So if you are celebrating a birthday today, you're in pretty good company.
Yep.
I'll get to that in a moment. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, the stupid question prize is a 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. Here's what I want you to do. Name the first president of the United States whose son also served as president.
Huh.
215-263-WMMR. Name the first president of the United States whose son also served as president. All right, let's see if you know the answer. Wednesday, July 22nd. Like I said a moment ago, a ton of celebrity birthdays. A guy we were just talking about yesterday celebrates his birthday today. John Leguizamo.
Yes.
What a talented actor / a one-man show / stand-up comedian.
Crackshot veteran.
Oh, Crackshot. Yeah. He has played Crackshot.
Yes, he has.
Shot us. I love that guy.
Yeah,
he's excellent.
He's great, and he's only in John Wick for a little bit.
He's an awesome character, though.
He is.
Yeah, he stands
like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Where'd you get this car?
That car?
And he's Sid, the voice in Ice Age, and he's been in, you know, Summer of Sam and just loads of movies. Carlito's Way. He's fantastic. He's 56 today. Also celebrating number 56 is David Spade. David Spade's great. We've talked to him before.
His talk show's really good. He does sort of like a paneling talk show with other comedians. It's really great.
And we have a very cool picture of him holding up a sign that talks about us. Todd Glass made him do it.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
We need to parlay that. Once we're past all this and hopefully get David Spade in the studio.
Yep. So he is, like I said, 56 years old today. It's also Willem Dafoe's birthday.
Love him.
And, man, has he been in a lot of stuff throughout the years.
Preston, I tell you, this movie, it's Togo. It's on Disney+. Yeah. It's a dog movie. It's based on a true story.
Yeah.
You will cry your eyes out, and Willem Dafoe is awesome in it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's called Togo?
Yes.
It's good.
Write that down. I'm looking for some family viewing.
Oh, yeah. This is it's a home run. Okay. It's a true story. He's playing a real guy, and the story is of this serum transferal, which occurred during a blizzard in Alaska. Okay. It's an amazing story, and great.
We watched Call of the Wild a few weeks back. Really enjoyed that.
I watched it.
It was well done.
Yeah, I like Togo more, but I did like Call of the Wild. I thought it was really well done.
All right. Willem Dafoe is 65 today. Albert Brooks, the great.
The genius.
Actor, comedian, writer. So many movies as well.
Ooh, Defending Your Life. I got to watch that.
You never saw it?
No. I mean, I got to watch that again.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Say that. Yeah.
And also a voice actor, not unlike I was mentioning John Leguizamo. Remember Nemo's dad, Marlin. Is played by Albert Brooks and a bunch of other characters, too. He's 73. Danny Glover, he really is too old for this S. He's 74 today.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what he thinks about Mel.
About Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard him.
Please don't ask.
Yeah.
I would prefer you don't ask.
God, you know what he's great in? The Color Purple.
You hate his guts.
Oh, my God. He's just so mean.
A guy who seems pretty damn likable is so disgusting in that movie.
Yep. And he turned 74 today. We're going to speak more on this gentleman in a moment because I have some stuff coming up about his memoir. But Alex Trebek, it's a very, very milestone birthday today at 80 years old.
He made it. He made it. And, you know, they're doing these the first episodes that Alex Trebek hosted Jeopardy, the first two. And last night they had an interesting thing occur, Preston, where during the final Jeopardy, everyone got it wrong, and everyone bet everything.
Wow.
So it finished with zero across the board.
No winners.
There was no champion, and they reset.
They'd have to do that, All right, so he's 80 today. Actor Terrence Stamp, he was General Zod in the original Superman movie. Also, Wall Street, Phantom Menace, he's in that. He is 82 years old today. Louise Fletcher, who was Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Also, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and a lot of other films as well. She's 86. Bob Dole, I'll be honest, I didn't know he was still alive. He's 97 years old.
Damn! Today.
Yeah.
War hero, veteran. I was thinking of him the other day because I remember that bizarre Britney Spears commercial. Remember for Pepsi?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was watching that.
That was weird.
They even had an erection, a slight
with
knot.
The pencil.
And he goes, the dog was next to him. He's like, easy boy or something like that. It was pretty wild. Bob Dole, 97 today. Don Henley of the Eagles. He was a cornerback. He was in the band, the Eagles. And celebrates his 73rd birthday today.
Musical genius, I would say.
Yeah.
His solo stuff and the Eagles, all great.
Yes. And kind of a tough nut to crack as far as a personality goes.
He's also...
I tell you what, though. Pierre did an interview with him, I remember hearing, and... Don opened up and seemed very affable, very nice.
That's cool.
He had a great conversation, so it's cool because he can be kind of tough to talk to.
The word is in his heyday of the Eagles, Preston, Henley traveled with like a suitcase that had his sexual equipment in it.
I remember hearing that. Yeah. Yep. He is 73 today.
In that documentary, I always forget the name of the documentary, but the one that you guys love, and I've seen it as well, he barely smiles when talking about the Eagles. You know, when you watch Paul McCartney... talk about the Beatles. He recalls those things fondly, but I don't know if Don Henley really enjoyed being in the Eagles or not.
I just think he's a very serious guy.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's the way he is.
I was obsessed with this song in 1993. I would drive until I heard it. Like, it was basically in regular rotation on classic rock radio, right? And I wouldn't, I wouldn't get out of the car until I heard it. And then I was
said, why don't you buy the record?
Well, I didn't have like a tape player in my car, you know. This is like back in the 90s where tape players and CD players weren't on the norm, on the reg, so.
Fellas, we're not stopping until we're here.
I really have to go to the bathroom.
Too bad.
Yeah.
He's 73. Rick Davies, a singer and musician of the band Supertramp, celebrates his 76th birthday today.
Huge Supertramp fan.
Outstanding band. absolutely outstanding.
Are you guys at all into
it?
Yeah,
absolutely. I'd drive around until I'd hear this song.
Yes, and why not? And another great musician, George Clinton, P-Funk, leader of Parliament, Funkadelic. Oh,
yeah. Bill Clinton's brother.
79.
No,
that is not the case at all.
Oh. Roger Clinton's brother.
I still have a bunch of others. I got to get right to them.
Oh, man, but Reese, I didn't get to play it at all.
Don't worry about it. Reese Ifans, who is in several movies, Notting Hill, The Replacements. He was the kicker in The Replacements.
Yes. Yeah.
And Little Nicky, Steve, he's one of the evil brothers. He's 53 today. Emily Saylors, who is one half of the Indigo Girls. Love that group.
So do I.
She's 57. Selena Gomez also turned, wow, she's 28 years old today. Remember when she was a kid, man.
And now she's gotten a kidney from her friend. Remember she had that, it was a kidney transplant, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah. So she's 28, and then the last birthday. And the youngest on the list is Prince George of Cambridge, son of Prince William and Kate Middleton. He is 7 years old today.
The little Dickens.
Yep. So happy birthday to him.
He is cute. He's a cute kid.
Told you there was a whole bunch of them.
Third in line to the throne.
Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And it is thus. Name the first president whose son also served as president. 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Karen. Hey, Karen.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Wonderful, you poor, unfortunate named young lady. what is the answer we're looking for?
John Adams.
John Adams is correct, yes. His son was John Quincy Adams, and John Adams was president in 1797 to 1801, and then John Quincy Adams was president from 1825 to 1829. Congratulations, Karen.
Oh, thank you so much, and have a nice day tonight.
You bet. Hang on just a second.
And what's crazy is we worked with the mother of one of his descendants. Right. So Sophia, who used to work here in our
sales department.
Yes. She was pregnant. I was like, oh, what are you going to name him? She's like, well, I kind of have to name him John Quincy. And so blah, blah, blah. As it turns out, the father of her child is
John Quincy Adams.
Yes. Huh. Like the third or fourth or something like
that.
That's wild.
All right. So hang on the line. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you a 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer Jewelers has fast, free, and safe shipping. Whether celebrating life or just saying I love you, Steven Singer is there for you. Visit IHateStevenSinger.com. A lot to get to. We're beginning with Amber and Johnny.
God damn. This thing never stops.
She took the stand yesterday to deny allegations she cheated on Johnny Depp and fabricated injuries to make it look like he abused her. The divorced couple have seen their often fractious relationship go under the microscope as Depp attempts to prove in a libel case against the Sun, the newspaper, that he is not the wife beater they dubbed him. And they attempt to prove that he did abuse Amber Heard on 14 separate occasions.
14.
So the Aquaman star, Amber Heard, brought a previously unseen photo showing bruises on her right cheek and said that on the stand, Depp threw a cell phone at her face that evening, quote, like he was a baseball pitcher. Depp's lawyer, Eleanor Laws, showed footage of Heard leaving the elevator in their L.A. building in the days following the alleged incident that showed a seemingly unbruised face. The 34-year-old claims that she was wearing makeup to hide the bruises. Some of the denials of cheating, faking, and defecation came up as well.
And what'd she say about that? I'm sure she embraced it and was very proud of it.
I'm going to save the poop for last.
Okay.
She said that her good friend James Franco saw her face himself shortly after the incident I had mentioned earlier and asked what the F happened to your face after the incident. Discussing his alleged abuse, Heard said of Depp that she was, quote, petrified of the monster that Johnny could become.
And that's what he called himself, right? His alternate personality, according to her.
Yes.
He referred to his alternate personality as the monster.
Testifying about one incident in 2013 when they were staying at a trailer park, she said he broke light fixtures and he broke the frosted glass front of a cabinet, and I think he threw glasses at me. He accused me of being... Now, would that be glass like you drink out of?
Or eyeglasses.
Or eyeglasses.
Of glasses, yes.
I'm going to
guess. I can't see without my glasses.
Yeah.
Wearing my glasses. Put on my glasses.
I'm going to guess drinking glasses.
My girl, too.
Starring Johnny Depp. Oh, no.
Very allergic to bees.
He accused me of being the moral...
I can't see without my glasses.
How old are you?
She said...
I am 12.
No, you're not.
He accused me of being the moral police and, quote, a lesbian camp counselor.
And, that's actually pretty cool.
And of hiding his drugs. Yeah.
I saw a few movies with lesbian camp
they
counselors.
They get a lot of action.
Yeah. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly.
However, she admitted that she did hit him once. She said, I did strike Johnny that day in defense of my sister, Whitney. He was about to push her down the stairs. She also responded to Law's questions about the now famous bed defecation.
Yes. Oh, here we go.
Depp has said that she pooped in their bed as a prank, but she has blamed their two teacup Yorkshire Terriers. Heard said in reference to that, of course not. That is absolutely disgusting. That is unimaginable to me.
Do you think you could tell the difference between teacup poodle poop and Amber Heard poop?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You'd imagine.
Yes.
I think there'd be a lot more caviar in the Amber Heard poop.
She also denied the allegation that she cheated on Johnny with Elon Musk and Franco. But Laws presented text in which it appears that Musk offered to protect her and seemed hurt by her ghosting him. Laws, not legal the precedent. Friend. This is a
yeah.
That's the lawyer's name.
Which is a good name to have if you're a lawyer.
The offer would stand even if you never wanted to see me again. This is what the text to her ghosting said. The offer would stand even if you never wanted to see me again. Anyway, sorry for being an idiot. The radio silence hurts a lot. It only matters because I really like you. Okay.
That's coming from Elon Musk.
No.
Oh, all right.
That is Musk offered to protect her and seemingly hurt by her ghosting him.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess so. That would be from him. Anyway, it's hard to follow. There's a lot going on.
It really is.
Between bed pooping and ghosting.
You had me a pooping.
Yeah, me too. Kim Kardashian reportedly working frantically behind the scenes to get her husband, Kanye West, help. Kanye's unraveling. The presidential hopeful claimed that she and her momager, Chris, were trying to, quote, lock him up on Twitter Monday night. And now sources tell People that the media mogul has been trying to get Kanye help for weeks. The posts have since been deleted.
Dave Chappelle flew out to hang with him to see if he could help Kanye a little bit. He's perceiving a nervous breakdown on Kanye's part.
The source said, but what do you do when a person doesn't want help? And they had pointed out that West has been staying at the family's compound in Cody, Wyoming. Said Kanye is in Cody because he doesn't want help. If he wanted help, he would come back to L.A. Kim has, as the rapper hinted, consulted with doctors. The insider says Kim's family is around to support her as always, and they love Kanye. They want him to be healthy. They are all trying to figure out how to help him. They are in contact with medical professionals for guidance.
The problem is she's consulting with podiatrists.
Wrong
will not help.
Kind of doctor. Unless he's got foot problems.
I thought you said psychiatrist.
Podiatrist.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Feet. In the now deleted tweets, Kanye had written, Kim was trying to fly to Wyoming with a doctor to lock me up, like on the movie Get Out, because I cried about saving my daughter's life yesterday. A reference to his comments about daughter Northwest during his first campaign rally over the weekend. A source tells People that Kim is furious that West brought up possibly aborting North during a campaign rally on Sunday. The pair do share North, Saint Chicago, and Psalm as children. The pair's relationship has reportedly broken down significantly. West announced his intention to run for president earlier this month, and his family is reportedly concerned for his mental health.
Well, she was upset because obviously as the kid gets older, she's going to read about the fact that there was a point at which they considered aborting the baby, and so that was a concern.
I don't think any, and listen, that's just my opinion, I don't think any child needs to know that abortion was an option. I think Tim Tebow, that was one of the things that he, you know, he had said that because he had no choice in the matter, but his mother and father, like, that was
he and
like,
his mother discussed aborting him.
I don't think I'm into this, Mom. No. I think it's weird for
it is weird,
a child to know that.
Yeah. Well, he made a big thing about it, too.
Yeah. So.
Princess Beatrice's secret royal wedding broke with tradition while still managing to honor her grandmother, Queen Elizabeth. since the Queen Mother's wedding in 19... You know, do we have other royal music? We
are we sick, we're sick of this, right?
We already use this for
so
the baby.
Sorry.
Something, something different, please. If
she, like. She threw a hen party, right?
No.
A bachelorette party?
Yeah.
Since the Queen Mother's wedding in 1923, the royal family has used Welsh gold for their wedding bands, and Kate Middleton, Princess Eugenie, and Meghan Markle fell in line.
But then
Beatrice's husband-to-be, Eduardo Mappelli Mozzi, decided to design her ring.
And, hey, that's right, that's a crap.
And he chose platinum over gold. He said, we designed the ring in platinum because we wanted it to aesthetically match and entwine with the engagement ring.
I remember when platinum was all the rage.
British jeweler Sean Leanne tells People, adding, the rings have been made for each other and there's a romance in that. Now, Beatrice's secret wedding on Friday in front of 20 guests at All Saints Chapel in Windsor Great Park also honored tradition. Beatrice wore a repurposed Norman Hartnell vintage gown from her grandmother's closet and the same diamond tiara that the Queen wore on her wedding day with Prince Philip.
I guess they do a lot of that in the royal family, right? You have things that get passed down. This one still had skid marks in it.
Well, and at when we went to the Tower of London, you know, I saw the went up and saw the crown jewels. So what she wore would have been on display there.
Oh, part of the deal.
Yeah. Both the Queen and Philip were among the small group of attendees. According to jewelry experts, the tiara may have been a subtle signal of strength and unity. Fred Leighton's creative director, Rebecca Selva, told Town & Country, could there have been a more perfectly beautiful and royal family wedding?
We contacted Stephen Singer.
This wedding was about family, celebrating love, honoring family, and respecting tradition with a great sensitivity to and awareness of the times we are living.
This is a very profound event. We would like to see your entire Argentium collection.
As observers know, the wedding was not only significantly downgraded because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, but also due, many believe, to Beatrice's father, Prince Andrew's ongoing sex scandal.
Was he there?
I do not know.
I mean, they basically shunned that guy now. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'd be surprised if you see him anywhere.
But it's his daughter's wedding, so hopefully he'd be able to attend
Maybe
that.
Maybe he zoomed in.
And her mother's Sarah Ferguson, and they got divorced a long time ago, too. So I would imagine that both parents were there, but you don't see them in any of the photos.
God, man, it'd be a tough sell bringing Prince Andrew into that.
Yes, it would be. Let's see. On to birthday boy, Alex Trebek. He is looking back on his life and legacy in his memoir. It's called The Answer Is Reflections on My Life. Some of the biggest takeaways. Let's stay with the royal family, because Trebek reveals that meeting Queen Elizabeth II in 1967...
Here comes the music again. Oh, yes. Hit it!
...was his most memorable celeb encounter. At the time, he was hosting a variety show in honor of Canada's centennial. He said they spoke after the show, and she attended for 5 minutes. And he said, you're not supposed to lead the conversation with the Queen. She loved horses, and once she found out I was hosting the Canadian Triple Crown of Racing, we spent much of our discussion on that.
How much do you charge for mustache rides?
Now listen. When he saw her again the next day, he admits to being lowered a peg or two. He said, as she approached me, I was thinking, well, here comes my new best friend, and I wonder what we'll talk about today.
Right.
He said, I stood a little taller, my chest swelled up, I smiled, and when she got to me, she said, good show. Please tell me your name and where you are from. And they had just had a conversation the day before.
Well, she meets a lot of people.
She does.
And she had just spent the evening with Pat Sajak.
Oh, and so she was enamored of that, I'm sure.
She was enamored of him.
His one encounter with drugs. He reveals that information.
The concept of Alex Trebek doing drugs blows my mind.
Pot-laced brownies during a 1970s dinner, and it was decidedly memorable. He said, I had 4 or 5 of them.
Oh, my.
Anybody who has ever sampled knows that one is more than enough.
I've always heard they're very potent.
He said, I did not realize they were hash brownies. Mr. Naive here. He said, the party was on a Friday night. The drugs knocked me out so much I spent the weekend laid out in their guest bedroom and didn't leave their home until Monday morning.
Oh, my God, that's really...
The answer is seahorse.
Mm. This is the Miss Captain Seahorse here.
Like a seahorse here. Yes.
He went to the complete
He's hosting the show. Alex, what are you saying? The answer is a seahorse here. It's like a seahorse.
He's in the closet, running a show all by himself.
The f***? What is the seahorse captain? What is seahorse seashell party? Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited? No, seahorse seahell? What is this? Get real. I'm in love with seahorses. I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses. They're f***ing unreal. I love them. They're like all the clocks. I love them. I love seahorses, and I love looking at them, and I love seashells. I love seashell things. I love things with seashells and seahorses on them, like blankets and towels and little bags. I love them. Seahorses forever.
And now on to Final Jeopardy. What else did we learn from him? One of the interesting things he revealed to his family, and he speaks
about horses.
How they reacted, was when he said he will not continue treatment for his stage 4 pancreatic cancer if the current round fails.
Right.
He said, I sat down with Emily, Matt, and Janine and told them that I had made my decision. I'm going to stick with this current protocol, and then that is it. If it doesn't work, I'll probably stop treatment. It wasn't an easy conversation. And it isn't any easier writing these words. Quality of life was an important consideration.
And it's his call to make.
Of course, he said, and I'm not afraid of dying. One thing that they're not going to say at my funeral as part of the eulogy is he was taken from us too soon. He said, I'm about to turn 80. I've lived a good life, a good full life, and I'm nearing the end of it. I know that. The only thing that might bother me is if I pass on before I get to have grandchildren. Hint, hint. As for how he'd like to be thought of after his death, Alex writes, I'd like to be remembered, first of all, as a good and loving husband and father, and also as a decent man who did his best to help people perform at their best.
Man, I think
class act.
He achieved it all. I mean, on that level, he is a class act.
Absolutely. All right, what else do I have here for you this morning? How about this? No more seahorses. But Grey's Anatomy will tackle COVID-19 in season 17. Executive producer Krista Burnoff told Entertainment Weekly, we are going to address this pandemic for sure. There's no way to be a long-running medical show and not do the medical story of our lifetimes. Shooting hasn't commenced, but they said that the writers are hard at work, so they are going to be addressing that.
It's killing me because I'm chomping at the bit to ignore this season.
Right, me
17
too.
17 seasons in, I have not watched 1 second of this program.
I saw maybe 30 minutes of it one time.
Yeah,
and I'm
me
like,
too.
That was
really?
It. Yeah. It just seemed like every other medical drama.
I kind of want to make it to my grave never having watched it.
That's actually Alex Trebek's wish,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So you guys net, like, from the beginning, when it first came on?
I only watched it for Pompeo.
Ellen Pompeo.
Because
yeah.
I liked her in... the old school.
Right.
I checked it out, and I'm like, okay, no.
Yeah. I probably watched the first season or two, and then I fell out, you know.
I had already had enough of medical dramas with ER, which was a great show.
It was.
I enjoyed it, but...
Unless you have a real different angle on things, they're all... It's like the CSI stuff. You just tap out after a while.
Well, the angle on this one, I believe, was all of these guys that are basically just coming out of medical school, right? So they were like...
McSteamy, McDreamy.
Well, no, those were like veteran doctors, but Ellen Gray, whatever her name is, you know, they were all like interns coming out,
right?
And so they were, you know, doing all these long hours. Let me go. I gotta go sleep in the break room. I've been on shift for 24 hours straight. And,
you know. When did McSquirty, McSpoogie, all those?
Well,
guys
so come McDreamy in? Was there from the beginning, and then McSteamy came in.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right. Anyhow, other things. How about this? In a piece for Vanity Fair, members of the cast and crew teams who worked with showrunner Peter Lenkov on MacGyver, Magnum P.I., and Hawaii Five-0 have been speaking out about the abusive work environment that he created. Lucas Till, the actor, he was Havoc in the X-Men movies.
Yeah, he plays MacGyver.
He said...
I'm sorry, new MacGyver.
New MacGyver, yes.
Yeah.
He said, I've never worked this hard in my life, and I'm fine with hard work, but the way Peter treats people is just unacceptable, he said. I was almost suicidal that first year on the show because of the way that he made me feel. But the way he's treated the people around me, that's just my breaking point. Till added that he tried to report Lenkov to CBS in 2017, but was dismissed. Lenkov was fired July 7th after an investigation. So apparently,
the same guy was doing Magnum PI as well.
Yeah, He was doing Magnum PI, Hawaii Five-0, and MacGyver. So, but apparently he was I guess he was a taskmaster, and maybe he was, he must have gotten pretty personal and, and abusive. Wow. I don't really know.
I had not heard about that.
And all he does is reboots.
MacGyver, Magnum, and Hawaii Five-0.
And Hawaii-based reboots.
Which, but MacGyver doesn't take place in Hawaii.
No, so two out of three.
Yeah.
All right, one last story, and looks like Denzel Washington and Julia Roberts are going to be teaming up. They were in
Pelican Brief.
They are set to top line Leave the World Behind for Netflix. The film is based on the forthcoming Rumman Alam novel about two families forced together on a long weekend gone awry.
Yeah, they are. They drive to Kentucky and their air conditioning
breaks. Shut up.
That sounds...
Wow.
Yeah.
1 hour in.
Yeah, unbelievable.
All right, all right, all right.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Mr. Robot's Sam Esmail is set to direct.
Oh, you're going to fix the air conditioning.
Yeah. All right, let's do clips. Start with this one. The TV series Brave New World shows how our society could potentially turn out if things like money, monogamy, and privacy were prohibited. In this clip, Aldrin Ehrenreich discusses the show's major changes from its source material. Here we go.
If you're capturing the real spirit of it, I think in a way the show becomes a better delivery system for us to understand the present moment in certain ways because it's designed to do that. And they're just two different experiences. I think what's great about the show is it brings all these wonderful philosophical ideas and questions to vivid life.
Anyway...
Brave New World is available to watch on Peacock now. Do you have to pay for Peacock?
No. If you have Xfinity, you don't.
All right, good. Then I'm going to watch this because I love the book, Brave New World.
I love the book and I love the movie that they made years and years and years ago.
We watched that in psychology class.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's just as relevant today as ever.
Yeah.
This was the guy that was Han Solo. He's really good.
Next clip.
Anyway.
At the Battle of the Atlantic, an inexperienced captain leads his convoy against lethal submarines on rough waters in the movie Greyhound. And in this clip, star Tom Hanks talks about if he felt intimidated by Greyhound's large-scale set pieces.
That was what we were going for. The ship itself is a formidable place. We wanted that to be an environment that actually had a personality to it. The sea, which is always changing, we wanted that to be like a wolf at the door. It ended up being formidable.
Oh, God, I love you.
Greyhound can be streamed on Apple TV Plus now.
You liked it, Case, right?
I did. It's a damn good movie. It's just...
I think Hanks wrote the screenplay, didn't he?
I don't know. I'm not really sure.
He did. Yeah, you're right, Steve.
Okay. So you can only get that on
Apple TV Plus.
I hate this.
Do you have that one?
No.
You got to pay for that one.
Yeah.
Do you have an Apple? You have an Apple TV.
But I just
listen, man.
One more thing.
Stop it.
Wait, it's like you
put them in the theaters. You know.
Put them in the theaters.
Which theaters?
I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, put them in a theater so I don't have to pay a subscription. I can pay for it one time to see it.
Oh, I see. You don't want to pay $600 a month?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm already
okay.
Paying $600 a month for all the other services that I have.
So that you can get TV, just basic movies. You don't want to pay $1,000 a month?
All right. Maybe I will. And there you go, your entertainment report. All right, we have a secret text word, chance for you to win a free month of Philo and Amazon Fire TV Stick.
Great.
So, yeah, great.
It's just what we're talking about.
Text the word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win a little bit later on. Bert Kreischer is on the show today. We announced that he is part of the live entertainment returning to the City of Brotherly Love. And this will be on August 16th. Bert is going to be performing the live-in drive-in at the Citizens Bank Park parking lot. And you can buy a ticket for a car with four people in it. And we're going to talk to Bert. He is the first show. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. By the way, details at WMMR.com. So Bert's coming on around 9 o'clock. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Monday nights just got a lot louder. Join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for massive amounts of Metallica every Monday night starting at 9. Yeah. From the monster hits to deeper album cuts, spanning a Hall of Fame career, we're covering all the bases from one of rock's biggest bands. Check out WMMR.com for more from Metallica. Rock news, videos, and interviews with MMR DJs.
So true, Jackson.
The new and improved Metallica Mondays. 9 p.m. with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
So I've been in a mental funk the past few days, and, you know, times, if you may have heard, have been uncertain.
Yes.
So what I take comfort in is wallowing in other people's misery.
Yes.
So let's hear about Kathy's day from hell the other day.
Oh, yay.
She told us she had a morning from hell, and maybe it'll make me feel better.
Yeah, it was.
Comparisons do help.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was a full day. Like, it ended up being okay, but it was definitely the morning from hell. It was our day off. We had a Monday off. You know, it was great. We were texting, like, Sunday fun day. You can relax. We have off on Monday. So I wake up. And I had a babysitter coming over to take Jace somewhere. And then I signed up for a yoga class. I was going to go, you know, take yoga. And,
excellent.
And yeah, be him zen. And
good start to the day.
Good mm-hmm. start to the day, except the babysitter didn't show up. Yeah, so she completely doesn't come, not there. So now I've got to get Jace in the car, take him where he's supposed to go. I've already signed up for the class, paid for it.
Non-refundable?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, like, you can
yeah.
You can get refunded 8 hours prior if you cancel. But, you know, so but I really wanted, that wasn't the point. I wanted to do the class.
Right.
Like, I wanted to get some sort of workout in. So I rushed Jace to where he needs to go. You know, and it kind of felt bad. I was like, bye, have a good time.
But hang on a second. Did you know that the babysitter... At what point did you know the babysitter just wasn't coming?
Well, how was I going to know she just wasn't coming? I mean, no, of course I didn't know that.
So you didn't,
she just didn't show up.
She didn't. All right. So let's
say. It was Casey Anthony.
Let's say she was supposed to be there by 8:50.
That's exactly what time she was supposed to be
Shut
there.
Shut up.
That's
weird. Really?
Yes.
Dude, not to go off on a different thing, but we had a babysitter cancel. Just didn't even show up one night. We were going to go up to Allentown and see Steel Panther play. We had friends over and everything. Just flat out never showed up, never called back.
Well, and listen.
Who the hell does that?
Who the hell does that?
Who does that?
And I would have been so annoyed, except we've had this girl for a year, and she has never done anything like this. Like, she, not only is she on time, like, she comes a few minutes early. So now I'm thinking, well, she's dead. So,
yeah, right,
you
right.
know.
Yeah. But at 8:50, she's not there.
Right. So,
and so at what point do you go, all right, get in the car. We got to go.
So my class and where Jace was going both started at 9:15. So I had to get him where he was going, you know, at least by 9:15. So I got him, you know, it was a few minutes late. I got him there and then I rushed over to yoga and I was late. Fortunately, I know the instructor. So I just let her know I was going to be a little bit late. It was an outside class. So I said I can, you know, quietly come in and just so whatever, you know. Now,
you did what you had to do. You drop him off at the casino and you head over to yoga.
And I get there. I'm like, okay, I'm finally here. Like, I roll my mat out. I, you know, and it was hot. We were in the shade, but it was hot. So I was sweating. I had my towel and I brought my water bottle. Now, I sometimes will have a water bottle and there'll be like a little bit. If there's like half of the bottle left, I'll put it in the fridge. I'll chill it and then, you know, fill it up the rest of the way. So let me just back up. The day before we went to the pool, I mentioned Sunday fun day. Well, at my pool, you can bring drinks with you. So we make our own margaritas. So we have like the fresh mix that we've made. And then I put tequila in a water bottle and I, you know, to bring it to the pool and we shake it up there so it's fresh and everybody can enjoy it. So, again, I take out my water bottle from the refrigerator because sometimes I'll leave water in there to chill it so I have cold water when I go to yoga. So I just filled up the rest of the water bottle and I took it with me and I figured this will put some ice in it. It'll be nice and chilly for me. So now I'm sweating at yoga. I go to take a big sip of my tequila water.
Oh, man.
I was like, are you kidding me right now? After all this, babysitter doesn't show up. I'm rushing. I miss half the class. Now I go to take a sip of water and it's tequila.
I'm going to do dad or dog.
Did you swallow it?
Yes. I mean, I took the big sip and then I was like, oh. And, it, you know, I'm thinking in my head, like, what? This tastes like yesterday. What's happening? And you know, of course, I realized what I had done.
Well,
and I just, at that point, I was like, okay, you can't get just relax. And I wasn't annoyed. I just started laughing.
You just turned it into Monday fun day.
Yeah. Well, you probably became the star yoga student because you were so relaxed. Look at that. Kathy's position's unbelievable.
Yes. She's sleeping.
Her face is flat on the floor with her feet behind her.
They said, you know, I told everybody afterwards and they were like, do you need a ride home?
Well, I'm totally fine.
Not that there's any good alcohol to drink by accident, but tequila might be the worst to drink by accident. You know, like
when
that,
you're working out too.
Well, not just like tequila is so harsh, and there's something like that that might make me vomit if that happened.
Kathy, somebody texted and said Jace is right. You an idiot.
You an idiot. Well, and listen, the water bottle that I used, I actually just found it, and it's like the greatest water bottle. It's one of the gifts that Subaru gave us at one of their broadcasts.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
drink up.
And it kept the water or the margaritas so cold. So I thought I rinsed it out and put water in it, you know, thinking, oh, yeah, that's nice.
Excuse me, do you have any
water.
Salt?
Kath, I took a huge swig of warm, like really warm rum. I was at Woodstock 99, and like an idiot.
Straight
up rum.
Ugh.
So like an idiot, Woodstock warned everybody, do not bring in outside alcohol. Well, like they're going to check 90,000 people.
Yeah.
So I snuck a whole bunch of rum in water bottles, and then, you know, I got there that first night. I did a number on myself. I woke up hungover in a tent.
Oh,
and I grabbed the water bottle and guzzled.
Oh, God.
And
is it
warm rum?
Rum the kind of thing that can make you really, really sick?
I mean, anything.
Any hard alcohol. The fact that it was warm and straight.
Yeah.
Oh, disgusting. Well, that was the thing. So this water bottle is huge. And so there was a significant...
I gotta finish it.
There was a significant amount of water in it. But I mean, was no... Like, I put it up to one of the girls' noses afterwards. I was like, smell it. She's like, oh, yeah, there's tequila in there. Like, it was strong enough that you could smell it. But So then I had no water for yoga.
There's a classic story in my family that my mom tried to kill my dad. And so they were partiers in the 70s, man. They would have
really?
Yeah. Yeah, they'd have friends
cocktail
over.
Parties,
yeah,
all that
cocktail
stuff. Put the Dave Brubeck on the record player.
Totally, man. You know, little Tom Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and apparently they tied a big one on the night before. My dad was hanging bad, and he needed something to drink, so my mom sent my sister in with a drink for him. He takes a sip of it, and he just thought it was tomato juice. It was a Bloody Mary that my mom mixed up for him.
Right.
And he was like, you trying to kill me? Apparently that's the lore in the family.
Yeah, so. I can see that.
Wow. But your day got better after that, Kathy?
Yeah, so, you know, it didn't end up being so bad, but it was just the fact that I was drinking tequila water in yoga, and that sort of was how my morning ended.
I mean, it really sucks even when you're just drinking something pretty mild, that when you're expecting something else. Like, if you're expecting water and you drink iced tea, like, it's going to throw you for a loop.
It throws you off, yeah.
It can be pretty nasty. Or it turns into, you know, if you've been hanging over, it's hair of the dog. Okay, I guess I'm in. You know,
how effective is that methodology, the hair of the dog?
It's only delaying the inevitable.
Yeah,
So there's no real medicinal.
It works. You feel better.
Right, yeah.
You feel better, but you're going to feel lousy later on. And that's all there is to it. But I have done hair of the dog, and after one beer, you're like, okay, I've leveled off.
Right.
And let's keep going.
I remember at the when we'd have the festivals, the Y100 festivals, and you would have, like, they took place in August, and the heat would be so staggeringly oppressive, and people would get bombed. That combination of, like, in this heat and humidity.
It's bad.
And that.
It is.
I mean, I remember walking through, what was it at the time? Tweeter, I guess, maybe at the time.
Yeah.
And there was, like, a triage of cots and people sprawled out. It was like, you know.
Well, one of the worst parts about being hungover is how dehydrated you are, right?
Yeah.
And then you throw heat on top of it.
The worst.
So when you drink in the summer as the hair of the dog, all you're really doing is getting drunk and hungover at the same time. And you're pushing the effects of the hangover maybe 24 hours if you're lucky. Because you can be drunk and hungover at the same time, and that's not pleasant, but at least you're drunk to sort of mitigate the fact that you're also hungover.
Right.
Not that I want to head down this path, but there are lots of texts coming in of people accidentally drinking dip spit.
And
I've done it.
Nick, it's when we were horrible. In college.
I know what you're going to say. And
Wawa. The Wawa iced tea containers. So yep. now, like, they're clear, like little bottles. But back in the day, they were blue cartons. And so you're...
Why were they the default for dip spit? I don't... Like, they were just convenient. They were cheap. They were easy, I guess.
Well, everyone went to Wawa in college?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably it. Like, that was just, you know, a standard... The standard drink was a Wawa iced tea.
I would kill myself. There'd be no option but to take my own life if I took a big swig of dip spit. Ugh.
I can still, like, in my mind, I can hear my buddy George. Like I could hear him gulp.
You notice I'm sitting here covering my mouth because I can still smell and taste what it happened. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's horrible.
And by the way, I will say that my babysitter's not dead.
Okay. Yeah, some texts are coming in asking if your babysitter had indeed died.
No, she didn't die.
And what was her excuse? Did she have
drank
one?
Some dip spit?
Right. Yes.
I don't really know. I could read you the text message. It really doesn't make sense. There's a slight language barrier over text. She's fine in person. Her first language is Spanish. So over text sometimes it gets lost in translation. So the text I didn't quite understand what was happening.
We never heard from the girl that didn't show up. For our
ever?
Night out. Ever. Never heard from her again.
And she was a consistent babysitter up to that point.
No, she was not consistent. Okay. And, but, I mean, you know, some kind of an excuse at least.
Make something up.
Yeah.
A friend of mine has...
I'm day drinking at yoga.
Yeah. Right?
Sure. All right.
Yeah. At least did something. Yeah.
Some girl brought tequila to yoga. I can't drive
some
home now.
Some alky just came to work out with a whole container full of margaritas.
What was I going to say? My neighbor had a nanny. So her and her husband go to work. They have, you know, 9 to 5. They're both doctors. So they go, you know, they have 9 to 5 jobs. They've got to have somebody come in, get their kids ready for school, all of this. So they, you know, they
can't function unless they have someone.
No, but they employ somebody on a regular weekly basis. The girl one day just didn't show up. So like somebody was late to work, or, you know, had to get the kids to school, the whole thing. They never heard from her again. Like, and she had been with them for a little while.
Wow.
And she lives in the area. So we keep saying, like, you're going to run into her at Target or something like that. Yeah. But I mean, just didn't, nothing. No text, no call, and never followed up. Just didn't show up.
I mean, that to me, it seems to be a livelihood that depends on references. How do you do that and expect, you know?
Guess you don't use that family as a reference.
I mean, come on. So when you were picking your various babysitters throughout your time with younger kids, to me, that would probably be one of the most elaborate interviews you conduct, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Somebody taking
care of your kids and coming into your house.
Yeah.
In your house. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, it's difficult, at least for me anyway. It's always difficult to find a good babysitter.
Do not go in the vibrator room.
Stop it.
I'm telling you now, I will know if you've gone into the vibrator room.
Kathy, so your poor start to the day seems like it pales in comparison to a friend of yours who had a rough day too, and you kind of touched on that a little bit with us. What happened?
Yeah, so my poor friend. So she, Steve, you actually know her. She's an animal lover. She works with a lot of rescues. She takes in litters of kittens. She fosters them. She has, tons of cats herself.
Yes.
So one of her cats is not doing well, and she has an attic, and so she had to climb up into the attic for something, and the cat got up there. So she leaves the cat up. Now, it's hot.
Cat's going to die.
So,
heat stroke.
Yeah. Right. So she gets out of the attic, and she thinks that the cat will follow me. She tries with the food and the whole thing, and she leaves it open and leaves the cat up there for a little bit, and then she thinks, okay, this cat's going to die up there. He already doesn't feel good. Like, I don't want him dying in my attic. So she's like, I got to go up and get him. So she goes up into the attic to try to find the cat. She sees him. He's kind of like behind something. So she goes to try to grab him, and of course he backs away. He doesn't want anything to do with her, and she's like, "This, like, I'm not coming back up here again. You have to come out." I asked her after it happened, but she stepped not on the beam to go get the cat, and she literally fell through her ceiling into her bedroom. And she said as she was stepping, she thought, God, could you imagine if I get the cat and we fall through the ceiling? So she falls through, and it was, I mean, like a movie. She fell through and had to hang on for a little while. And she said she was so, like, she didn't know what to do. She thought, do I scream? Do I yell for help? My head is in the attic. She goes, nobody's going to hear me. No one was home. So she goes, no one's going to hear me. And then she said once she, like, gained a little bit of composure and realized what was below her, she...
Was
she
it the bed?
She let go. It was not the bed, but it was... She said she didn't think she was, like, that high up. It was right. Her bedroom. She fell into her bedroom. But you've got to see the bruise on her leg. I mean, I don't know how she didn't get... I don't know how she didn't break her leg. Like, it is the biggest bruise. But she said after she crashed through, fell all the way through the ceiling, she looks up and the cat had walked over to the hall. I mean, to the hole, and was like looking down at her.
Ceiling cat. So her whole body went through the hole.
She caught. Yeah, she said like her torso and her arms were hanging on to like the two beams.
Yeah.
And she said she thinks the bruise is actually from falling through the ceiling and not actually like onto whatever she fell onto when she went all the way
through
the
bedroom. Her collection of Civil War swords.
Yeah, seriously.
I had a similar thing happen to me, Kath, where I didn't fall through the sheetrock or whatever that ceiling material is made out of. I used to go up in our attic all the time. I was a kid. I was in like, I was in like fourth, fifth grade, whatever. And, you know, you just snoop around
the
house.
It's a secret room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I used to go up in the attic and just kind of mess around in there. And then one time, when it was dark, you know, because I'd go up in there and then close. It was one of those where the staircase would, or the ladder would unfold.
Yeah, it's cool.
As you open it up. So,
cool. Yeah.
So I would fold it back up while I was up there and then close it up. And I'd be around in there in the dark. And I was headed back to the hatch. And I came in on the wrong side of it, I guess. And
you stepped on the actual...
I stepped on the actual hatch. So I didn't fall through the ceiling. Huh. Door flips down. And my feet go out from under me, Kath, and I grabbed on.
Yeah.
And I scratched up my arms all up and down, my forearms and stuff. But I was hanging there. But fortunately, the ladder was right there, and I was able to get onto it. But I was hanging. Your friend was scared the hell out of me.
She said she contemplated, like, trying to pull herself back up and then just realized, I think I'll be okay if I drop and let go.
But I wonder, and it made me realize that the first thought in my mind, and I wonder how many times in my life these words were the first ones that popped in my mind, which are, Dad's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
So that's a theme in my life, actually. Dad's gonna kill me.
Some of the funniest footage, though, is of, like, on America's Funniest Home Videos, is exactly that. People trying to install running wires.
They're my
favorites. Cable wires. And crashing. There was one I saw, the family just sitting there. I guess they had some sort of interior security camera that was trained on the living room. And the mom's just sitting on the big sort of sectional couch. Wham! This guy comes through the ceiling onto the coffee table and smashes and just, you know, what do you say? You know?
My favorites are when somebody is in costume and they do that. A lot of times it's Santa Claus.
Yeah, oh my God.
I've seen Spider-Man and they fall through the ceiling and it's great. There's a great, it was when it was Musical.ly and now it's TikTok. One of the first videos that I saw, this guy, Steve, is at work, falls through the ceiling, boom, crashes, and without missing a beat, the guy sitting behind the desk next to him goes, "Hey, Steve." and the other guy's like, "Hi, Larry." And that's the entire dialogue between the two of them. It's a scream. Because what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, because there's nothing to do. You were a jackass, and it went wrong, and it's horrible, and now it's forever immortalized on film. One of my favorites is of a guy who is a Spider-Man impersonator at a party, kids' party. He goes running into a garage, and he's going to show his acrobatics, and he jumps up on the garage door, and the whole thing... The whole assembly comes off and he sprawls on the back. Thank God. There was a time when so much of this was not caught on video or phones, and now we have so much to enjoy.
We're watching a montage of this right now on the monitor, and it's just, they're the best. It's just a scream.
Why do we, what is that, most of that drywall or?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just drywall.
Right.
I assume that's what it is. We did see somebody falling through a drop ceiling. I mean, those are even less sturdy.
Right.
But that's what I said to her, because she said, I had to step between the beams in order to get the cat. And I was like, but don't you know? I said, you do know you're not supposed to do that, right? She was like, yes, I know, but I just thought, like, a little bit of weight, I can get the cat. Oof. And she said she didn't want to, like, drag the cat out because he's not feeling well. He's sick. And so she said, I was trying to be, like, gentle about it. But, like, to me, that was the number one thing my dad always told us, like, do not step between the beams if you're going in the attic.
Well, most attics, my attic growing up, there was between two of the beams, my father, whoever built the house, put a walkway that you could walk on between the two beams. That was it. Yeah. And you didn't go. But besides that, I hated going up in my attic because it had all of that insulation, which was itchy as hell.
Yep.
And probably asbestos and, you know, uranium and everything.
Here's a text that says, I snuck up into our attic as a kid, obsessed with finding a secret passageway. And the only passageway I found was through the ceiling into our bathtub. So they fell through.
It's the best.
Yeah, it is the best when you see it happen. And I did, though, and I've told you guys this before, I saved the day one day. We locked ourselves out of the house one time, and because I had snooped around in the attic enough times, I knew that if I went into the attic in the garage, that there was a tiny little crawl space that I could get into the attic in our home.
Really? Okay.
And so,
how tiny?
I had to squeeze through
it. Like, you were John McClaning it?
Yeah, I was a grade schooler, so I had to, like, squeeze through it, but I knew it was there.
Come out to the coast. We'll have a few laughs.
And so I went in through the garage attic, and I squeezed through, and I got down into the house, and I got the keys, and I saved the day, and we had to go to church anyway.
How did you know about that?
I thought we were going to get out of going to church because I saved the day. I should have not gone in and got... I should have realized a half hour later and gone, oh, you know what? After it was too late to go to church. But anyhow... and fortunately, I didn't fall through the ceiling. We used to jump off the roof a lot, too.
Oh, man.
It was always fun.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, off the garage roof, which was not quite as high.
Man, you could have been in the Jumpers Club, Press.
I know.
I know.
Did that involve the...
Oh, you jumped off of things, man.
Off the
I
roof?
Thought it was... Yeah. Okay, so you... I perceived the jumping. It was a little different, but yeah. So then I could have been as well, because jumping off the garage is part of the big thrill.
So if you went to the Rutledge Firehouse, right?
Or which
the
I did.
The fire hall... there were these, it was a giant grand staircase that went up to the fire hall, and we would jump off the top of those staircases. It was so cool.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Brian?
Hey, so, about a year back, I was helping my parents fix the roof on their porch. It was leaking. And the way the porch is set up, we have our washer and dryer right underneath, you know, in the porch itself. And as I was up top fixing the beams, I'm a big dude, you know, 250. I was balancing on 2x4s as the beams.
Uh-huh.
I took one wrong step, boom, right through the whole roof, right on top of the washer.
Oh my God. Dude, you're in the moment. You can't laugh. But afterwards, it's such an absurd thing to have happen. Do you find any humor in it now at this point?
So my soon-to-be wife walked in, said, are you all right? I grunted. She started laughing.
Did you have any injuries from it?
No, I was, I got a lot of padding, so I'm all right.
There's a commercial on TV, I crack up every time it comes on because it's for, like, gutter guard or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's a whole bunch of really old guys. I was getting the leaves out of my gutter, and I fell 5 stories onto my car. Every one of them is one right after another. And you can't help as they're recounting their stories. You start chuckling.
Right.
But it's the big, they're trying to warn you about, you know, and here's why gutter guard is good, because you won't be like these jerks.
Well, my friend said to me when she told this story, she's like, it's a few days later. It's okay. You can laugh at me.
Yeah. And surprisingly, you know, you don't hear of too many. I'm sure there are pretty nasty injuries, but I've seen enough videos to where it's like, oh, they're okay. They bounced right back.
They're more than enough.
That looks like fun.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, well, listen, I'm glad your day got better, Kathy.
Yeah.
And no tequila.
No.
Not before 9 a.m. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Well, not at 9:30.
Drink your tequila and then go up into the attic so that when you fall through, you'll be a little bit.
Yeah. Anesthetized.
Relaxed, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back in a second, and some bizarre file stories of what we have set up for you. Also, Bert Kreischer on the show this morning, the Preston and Steve Show present Burt's live-in, drive-in show.
Yeah.
Which is August 16th, and we'll get you the details in a little bit. You can get them at WMMR.com if you can't wait, so go get them now. We'll be right back.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear.
Rock, 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 MMR Rock Shop. Get your MMR gear at the online store. Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop. Tees and tops and a whole lot more. Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop. Hoodies and hats for dudes and chicks. Mugs and masks that make great gifts. Rock, 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 MMR Rock Shop.
Get your hands on some awesome merch at MMR's Rock Shop.
Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop.
Get shopping at WMMR.com now.
Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop.
All the merch that rocks.
Marissa's on the phone with Fox 29 right before we do this. She gives me a countdown on how much time before we get started here, and she just looked terrified a second ago. I don't know why. Her eyes were big, like, I don't know what's going on.
Nothing's happening. Usually the newsroom's like going crazy.
Uh-huh.
That's a crazy morning, but it sounds good.
All right. So how many we got? Like 10 seconds left? Something like that?
Okay. What if they blow us off last second like your babysitter can?
All right. We'll hear music. And there we are.
Oh. Yeah, we're here.
Hey, sorry, guys.
Hi, kids.
Hey.
Hey, hey,
hey.
Hey. Hey. We're talking about Alexa. There's this adult toy company that Alex was telling me about. It's called...
Really?
Well...
Okay.
Yes.
She says it's called We Vibe. I haven't heard about it.
Yeah.
They conducted a survey of about 1,000 people, and they found that almost a third of them admitting that they are kind of attracted to the voice of the Alexa machine, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have admitted I like the GPS woman when I'm driving around.
What is it about her? The way she says turn or something?
Yeah. Mike, take a left. Well, she didn't say Mike, but... Yeah.
I'm like, how do you know her name?
But he hears Mike. Yeah. Make it nice and slow.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you hang a Yui, my man?
Oh, yield.
Yeah.
Yield.
Well, you can get the voices to change, can't you, on, like, Waze or one of the apps?
So yeah, different people. Dialects, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can do a British, you can do the whole deal.
It has different accents and so on.
On Waze, you can actually do your own voice. In fact, on my Waze direction.
Really?
How narcissistic if you turn yourself on.
Well, I guess I'm pretty narcissistic.
Casey boy.
But people are finding it erotic. They're finding the voice of the Alexa app to be erotic.
Well, who do you think is hotter, Siri or Alexa?
Oh, wow. Ooh. I didn't even think of
Siri's
that.
Siri's so hot.
Doesn't have a similar voice? Man,
I would have to hear them by side to really get a good comparison.
They are similar. Their elocution is pretty pristine.
Now they have
Let me ask Alexa something. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to talk about Preston here. Hold on a second. I have one in front of me. This irritates everybody in the Delaware Valley because all their Alexas go off.
It sure does.
Okay, let me turn off the blue light here. Sorry for your radio listeners.
No problem.
Alexa, describe Preston.
According to Wikipedia, Preston is a city and the administrative center of Lancashire, England, on the north bank of the River Ribble. The city of Preston local government.
Okay, shut up.
That's so hot.
If you say Preston Elliott, she will describe who
Alexa,
I am.
Alexa, describe Preston Elliott.
The Preston and Steve Show, the morning radio comedy and variety broadcast on Philadelphia Active Rock Station 93.3 FM.
Hey, wow. Alexa, stop.
They're so hot. Nice. They're incredibly hot. The bald one is especially hot.
Before we run out of time, did you want to bring up Nick?
Oh, yes. Nick, I have to say, your birthday surprise. What a way to celebrate quarantine. You went to Paris.
Is this public knowledge?
I put it up on Instagram. Yeah, my girlfriend went above and beyond, and we couldn't go to Paris, so she brought Paris to us and decorated the entire house as if we were in France. It was really touching and moving and a total surprise, so thank you for addressing that. And on top of that, I got an incredible present from Preston, who did this drum video, and he put that up on his Instagram, and so both of those are on our accounts and on PrestonSteve.com. So I got two amazing, really personal and sweet presents this year. It was nice. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate that.
So cool.
Yeah.
We have to get creative to celebrate in quarantine, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And so thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate it.
She's girlfriend of the year.
Yeah. And it turns out
her birthday.
Did you?
Yes. Happy birthday. I'll send my girlfriend over.
Yeah. She'll pretend she's Siri.
Yeah, could she swing by my place?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Ask her the weather.
Let me try Alex Holly here.
No, I don't come up.
Alexa?
Oh, my gosh.
Describe Alex Holly.
This might answer your question. According to Wikipedia, Alex of Troyes ruled as Duchess of Brittany from 1203.
Wow. What? Royalty. You look so much younger. Yeah.
What?
She's a duchess.
Then I'm out of here.
Thank you both.
All right.
Thanks,
see you
guys.
See you guys. Bye-bye. Hey, I did mean to bring that up, Nick. Andrea's gift to you. It must be great having a girlfriend or a spouse or a significant other that is an artist.
Yeah.
That can
do really
cool things artistically, because she did up your guys' pad. Like there's the Champs-Élysées, or I mean, no, there's the Arc de Triomphe, and there's the Eiffel Tower, and lights, and French flags. No, not Taj Mahal. French flags and everything. Of course, there was wine and cheese charcuterie and champagne and all this stuff. It was really cool.
I would have been fine with the charcuterie, you know, the meats and the cheeses. But it was a project that she'd been working on for a little while. She sent me out of the house so she could set everything up, and I told her last night that she does not have to do anything for my birthday next year, because she's not going to be able to top this year's. It was really sweet and a total surprise. I knew that she was working on something. I had no idea that it was going to be this. So, yeah, I really appreciated it.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it was great.
Nice. All right. Bizarre File Stories. Let's get them.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Cinch, a propane tank home delivery service that brings propane right to your doorstep. You can place your order at cinch.com. We'll begin with this. A 21-year-old Yorktown man told police he was target shooting in the hallway of his home when one of his bullets entered his neighbor's shower where a woman was bathing. Officials said no one was injured from the incident. Connor Scanlon was charged Sunday with first-degree reckless endangerment, a felony, and he was firing bullets in his home, piercing the walls of his neighbor's home.
So you can't shoot in your own home, even if you're just target shooting?
I guess if it goes into your neighbor's home, you can't. Scanlon
was my country.
Was arrested and arraigned. He was released on his own recognizance.
Wow.
Scanlon's neighbors called police when they heard loud bangs and repeated hits to the side of their home. Police responded, found several bullet holes in the siding of both Scanlon's home and the adjoining house. The 21-year-old told the police that he had been shooting the .22 caliber rifle in the hallway of his house.
Yeah.
Police took the gun along with several other airsoft rifles and related paraphernalia.
I'd take that stuff up into the attic.
The rifle is a legally owned weapon, but he's facing charges because of that. A woman climbed into an alligator pit with her young son, who wandered freely near dozens of gators while she tried to fetch her wallet, and a bunch of kids watched in horror. The scene played out at Safari North Wildlife Park in Brainerd, Minnesota, with stunned onlookers watching the mother and son risk life and limb. The woman's wallet was floating in the middle of the small pond, chock full of gators, and her daring son was dangerously gung-ho to get it back. The kid came up empty, but Mama stormed in to make the rescue. And about the only smart move she made was figuring out a way to distract the sharp-toothed animals long enough to grab her floating wallet. Fortunately, mother and son survived. The zoo is not laughing about it, though. Sources close to the wildlife park say that staffers did not know about the incident until the video started going viral. And park honchos are very disturbed about this.
Isn't that sort of the unspoken rule in most places like that? If stuff falls into any of the containment areas, you're allowed to go in and get it?
Of course,
yeah.
Going to the alligator pit.
Sure.
The zoo once pressed charges against a woman for child endangerment if she is indeed identified. Well, here's our mask hole story of the week so far. This took place in a Verizon store. In a 911 call, you hear a dispatch operator tell an officer three people are refusing to leave not wearing a mask, and they've asked several times, and she refuses. This is the dispatcher telling the police officer. About 3 minutes later, the operator tells the officer, they're calling back, they're advising us that the female is pulling down her pants and is now urinating inside the business.
Cool.
Michelle Davidson said, that is totally inappropriate. We are not animals. Police got to the
scene.
That's
inappropriate.
And they confirmed the incident. Officers arrested the woman after finding several stolen items from a nearby Dick's Sporting Goods store in her vehicle.
Uh-oh.
Kelly Berger said, I don't really have much to say except that's probably not the right way to react to it. Simply wear the mask or leave, I guess.
Well, this blows my mind. You're robbing places and you refuse to wear a mask? You have the best thing. You're wearing a mask.
She an idiot. Verizon spokesperson says the company is requiring all customers to wear masks in their stores. A Northern Michigan restaurant lost thousands of dollars in sales after a busboy said he had COVID-19, but the employee simply wanted a day off and had lied about it.
Couldn't have gone with diarrhea, could he?
No. David Hritko, the manager at Timber Seafood and Steakhouse, said it was heartbreaking. I worried about my staff. I worried about, now do I have COVID? Timbers was forced to close on Friday and Saturday after the COVID-19 claim and had to cancel a wedding rehearsal party as well. Yeah. The timing was terrible for the restaurant, which is trying to recover during the peak summer season after months of being closed.
Said the financial hit was devastating, right?
Fritko said, it's our second busiest week of the year. The employee confessed to the lie on Saturday night. He said he doesn't know what he did, and I feel terrible for him because this is a young kid that made a mistake, and now it is a police matter. So,
wow.
You don't go lying about that one, gang.
And you don't go into the gator containment area.
That, too. It's kind of a lengthy story, but follow along. A man who cut his neighbor's garage in half with a saw was on friendly terms with the man who built the structure, just not with everyone who lived on the property after he died.
Okay.
Gabriel Braun used a land surveyor's demarcation between the two lots as a guide to remove half of the building sitting on his land when a dispute over the boundary line boiled over.
So he literally cut the garage in half.
Yeah, he did. Tracy Braun said on Thursday that her husband's actions on the day after Memorial Day marked the latest, and they hope the final, step of an often contentious relationship between her family, others in the neighborhood, and various inhabitants of 148 Grove Street in recent years. Now, it's important that I give you the address because there are two distinctions here. So Braun and her family moved back to in 2012 to live in the home where her husband had grown up at 140 Grove Street, a property that once included the 0.23 acres just to the south of what is now 148 Grove Street, where a small home was added several decades ago. The Braun's relationship with their neighbors was fine until the former owner of 148 Grove Street, Steve Ritter, died in late 2016. Now, Ritter's wife, Teresa, took over the sole ownership of 148 Grove Street. And while she became an infrequent resident, Braun said relations had been strained when others who had rented or otherwise frequented the building since. She said, as soon as that poor man passed away, this place turned into craziness and chaos. The Braun's unsuccessfully tried to purchase the 148 Grove Street property in one attempt to resolve their issues. The property line dispute gained momentum in April when the Braun's put down a load of wood chips near. It's always something like wood chips, right?
Yeah, that always sets me off.
Near the previously established boundary with 148 Grove Street in order for a tractor to travel the downhill grade in the back of their lot to clean up some stuff. So Steve Ritter's youngest son, Blake, soon planted a stake in the ground where the chips had been placed. And he said, this is our property. Get your stuff off of it. So we had to call a land surveyor. The surveyor determined that the dividing line between the properties was actually in the center of 148 Grove Street's driveway and right through the middle of the garage. Wow. So the day the surveyor came, she said, and set up the pins, the tenants that were there packed up and moved out that night. Another surveyor came and it had similar results. And by Memorial Day, Braun says the younger Ritter asked if he could retrieve his father's ashes from 148 Grove Street. We said, please do. We want our property back because we've been paying taxes on it for years. She said, but he went over there and he started throwing trash all over the place and smashing glass and taking bureaus and throwing them outside the yard. Well, the next day, Gabriel Braun, who works in construction, took a sawzall and skillfully cut half of the garage running down the property line and removed it and then left the remains on the other side of the surveyor's line. So we have a picture of it.
Yeah, you can see it.
Cut it right down the line. The Braun's have installed a partial fence with cameras on their side of 148 Grove Street and plan to extend the divider to the brook at the rear of their lot. So it was something that had been bubbling, and once they got the official word, They took care of it with a saw.
Yeah, in a very precise way.
Yep, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming back. Casey, give me something.
Well, remind people of
that. All right, we have a secret text word, a chance for you to win a month of Philo and an Amazon Fire TV stick. You can text word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win later on. But I'd like to give away some passes for a night at the drive-in to go see the movies. And this will be Wednesday, next Wednesday, a week from today, at Shankweiler's Drive-In in Orfield, which is near Allentown. And they're going to be showing Hook and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Double That's feature. Cool. Yeah.
It's at 8:50 p.m., so keep that in mind. 215-263-WMMR, and you'll be set to go. And it's a reserved spot for people per car. And it's courtesy of Amazon Studios and Michael B. Jordan's Outlier Society. So if you would like to do a night, if you don't win right now, did I say a number, caller? Okay, caller number 12. We're going to set you up, 215-263-WMMR. But you can also visit anightofthedrivein.com to get first come, first serve passes for that. We're going to take a break. Kreischer coming up in a little while and more. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
With more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Reviews.com sampled over 1,200 drivers with varying ages and a near split of men and women to see how they felt about driving a car for the first time in the past 4 months due to the pandemic. And of the respondents, 28% of them, a nice chunk, said they felt overwhelmed and overstimulated when returning to a regular driving habit following months of lockdown and social distancing.
Like on the highway, I guess?
Just in general.
Just
getting in the car and driving.
Overwhelmed.
They feel overwhelmed and overstimulated.
They're out of the groove.
They've been without it for a while. And so getting back into the car has been a bit of an adjustment. And some people are, it's making them a little bit anxious.
So I had a couple of family members over the weekend over in our socially safe distancing backyard and hung out for a bit. It was nice. And this article came up and my niece, I guess, a niece-in-law, said, yeah, it's she's terrified. Getting behind the wheel just seems weird. And everyone started to chime in. And the consensus was they're a little bit off their game.
Hmm.
So they're the things that were just sort of second nature weren't kicking in as quickly as they thought. And then I heard a couple people said to me, people are driving like lunatics. Not the usual, like just bad driving, not driving fast, bad driving.
I think it was worse in March and April as far as people that were driving bad, you know, fast and bad.
Reckless and all of that. I mean, I've been behind people, Case, that are just driving down the middle lane, like over the lane, blinkers going in all directions, not pausing before they get on an on-ramp. I'm like, what is going on?
I'll tell you what, though. I don't like the more cars on the road. I really enjoyed there not being, I'm not talking about traffic on the highways and stuff like that. I mean, obviously that was great, but even just like local roads, like running to the grocery store or something like that, like there was really not too many people out, not a lot of cars on the road.
Yeah, the main entrance to my neighborhood is a main thoroughfare, which a lot of neighborhoods are. And it's quite busy, and it's four ways that you can go. There's no light there either. So sometimes you sit there and wait because it's too confusing.
Right, right.
From all directions. And during that, you know, it's getting more congested now, but about a month ago, I'm like, this is fan-freaking-tastic.
What's
I'm
it like now?
Zipping right through there.
Is it up to usual standards?
No, it's not all the way up. But I have noticed an increase in the past few weeks that it has picked up a bit more.
May I just jump in here quickly also?
Yes.
All right, so. I don't want to go off on one of these tears, but I need you to all validate this for me. I pull up to, by my house, I pull up to make a right at a four-way stop sign.
Yeah.
The person going straight across the intersection, like if they get to that line and stop at the stop sign before I do, I constantly get into these waving me on things. Yes. I'm like, you.
Yes.
Going straight.
You're not the only one.
Have the right of way. You stopped first, one, at the stop sign. Yeah. You've completed that. Number two, you're going straight. I'm making a turn. You have the right of way. Yeah. So I get into these things in broad daylight, and they may have a tinted window. I can't see if they're waving me on. Yeah. Yeah. You're getting going back and forth. It's like... And I, the other morning, I sat there for like a minute and a half because I refused to make the right. I couldn't determine whether this person was waving me on. They just stopped.
Yeah. You're better off just putting your car in park, turning it off, getting out and waving them
and
on.
And having a sandwich. It drives me crazy.
You're not the only one.
It drives me. If you get at a four-way intersection, whoever gets to the stop sign first and stops... then can proceed first.
The reason the rules are there is so there's no confusion.
Yeah. But there's a...
That creates confusion.
Oh, my God, it drives me crazy.
And that person might be thinking, well, I'm going to be nice and I'm going to let them go ahead.
And it's nice.
Even though I was here first.
Send me a cake.
It's confusion. Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? These have been the rules for decades, by the way. This isn't like just something that's brand new.
I think more accidents... There's a guy who had overly tinted... I mean, he could have been the most generous person in the world. Overly tinted front windows. I couldn't tell what the F he was doing.
Right. I noticed, by the way, I was on the Blue Route going south yesterday around 4:30. And there are more cars on the road, but we're still in a nice zone right now because normally the traffic would back up as soon as you get past the Radnor exit, and because that's where it goes from three lanes to two lanes, and it did not do that. So we're still in a pretty safe zone
Let me ask you, as far as that's concerned. Do you notice, because I do notice, and people were echoing this, people I brought this up to, that there you drive and there's a certain groove you get into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, they put these new dividers on Lincoln. They're like yellow, bendable sticks that divide the lane.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're rubber. I'm sure, you know, they...
If you hit them, you're not going to bust your car up.
But they just keep you from veering over the line. I see people freak out now when they come up on that thing and immediately cut right to get away from it, panicking. It's crazy.
Before we let this get away from us, I want to go to the crux of this article.
Please.
If you are nervous about driving, if you haven't driven in a while and you are nervous about driving... 215-263-WMMR.
Well, I did want to talk about that as well, Press, because, listen, since this whole pandemic has started, I've been going to work. So I have been behind the wheel of the car for, steadily the past few months.
Yeah.
Now, the only time I can actually really commiserate with what this article is saying is anytime I've been away on vacation and then I get back to the airport and I get in my car, because, like, I immediately have to get onto the highway from there. And it's a little bit weird because I haven't driven. I haven't actually been behind the wheel of a car for a week or so. And so I know
you have a little bit of an issue?
A little bit. Because, I mean, it's just weird. You leave the parking lot, and I'm immediately on 95 South. And I'm like, okay, I hope I can remember how to do
it.
A lot of times
you've been driving a large tricycle, so you should be up to speed.
A lot of time, but I'm going slower.
I know what you're talking about because I've had the same thing. But it's like a 5-minute thing.
And then you're back.
Yeah. You know, at least for me anyway.
Right, so this,
but there is that moment of like, whew, okay.
Yeah.
I have to remember everything again.
Uh-huh.
And then you do, but there's just a moment of hesitation.
And this article suggesting, okay, this has been a unique thing where a lot of people have just simply not even gone out of the house for long periods of time.
Correct.
As they return to work, it's like, oh.
I find myself daydreaming while driving.
Right.
And then thinking about the fact that I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not paying attention to the things that I should be paying attention to, the instinctive things when it comes to driving. And
I wonder what Bob Seger's doing now. No, I know though. You tend to wander
I get observational
off.
Instead of like paying attention to like my hands on the steering wheel and looking at the cars around me. Well, that seems interesting over there.
I'm going to go to somebody who's been a little bit further into it. I'm going to have Chris, who didn't drive for years. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry about you guys at work.
It's okay. It's all right, man. So, first of all, why did you not drive for years?
So, I moved into the city, and it just didn't make sense to have a car. I had public transit, and it was just a little too expensive. So, I sold my car and lived there for a few years, moved out, and bought another one. But the first time I was back on the road, I was like, holy crap, everybody's so close to me. And it just was so anxious. I just felt like everybody was going to hit me, and you don't realize just how, like, you really do get into a groove, and it is kind of a skill that you learn. And it was, I mean, after a few days, I was fine, but I was gripping the steering wheel so hard, my knuckles were like the first time I got back in the car.
Chris, you brought up one of the main issues, because I had actually a guy who lived in Manhattan when I was up in New York, and he, a famous comic artist, a guy named Gann Wilson, is his pictures, there's been a documentary about him, he was a friend of mine, and he's the greatest guy, but he had just forgotten how to drive, he had to relearn it. And the big issue with him was exactly what you just said, the proximity to other vehicles, the things that you just get used to, like by sight, saying, okay, I've got enough room to get past here, that would freak him out. And so that's what you're talking about.
Exactly the same thing, especially being on the highway. You're like, oh, my God, I need to slow down. I need to get the right lane.
You're too close. You're too close. Yeah, no, exactly. Huh. Especially when you're booking along at 60 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Here is Gene getting back into the throes of driving. Hi, Gene. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's your observation about this, getting back into a regular driving routine?
Well, I have to say, so I'm not nervous, but I'm very distracted. So as I'm driving around, even the town I live in, as I'm driving, I'm like, oh, look at that. Yeah. I haven't seen it before.
So what Nick was saying to you? Oh, they put a new house there.
Oh, that looks interesting.
Right. Someone's new siding.
Yes. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
When did they do that?
It's wild how, yes, when you can be in a different environment. Thank you for the call, by the way, Gene. This has nothing to do with driving a vehicle, but my sister and I, the first time I went to Hawaii, and we rented scooters, okay? You can rent scooters every other corner. You can get them and you can ride around. We were in Oahu. You know, it's a major metropolitan area. And so we're riding, and I'm like, ooh, a banyan tree, you know? Yeah. And meanwhile, I am going through a red light in a four-way intersection. Just da-di-da-di-da. Yeah, yeah. I hear she's screaming at my sister, President! Quiet! It's beautiful here. Not paying attention at all. Just completely distracted by everything.
That's one of the things that sucks, because I'm always the driver in my family. So, and we've gone away to some really, you know, nice places in the Northeast and, you know, mountainous New Hampshire and Maine and Vermont, and everybody gets to look out the window, and I have to drive and keep my stupid eyes on the road, and I don't want to all the time. I want to look around.
Don't you hate, because my wife and I have gotten, and she gets it now, but we drive along, she goes, look at this puppy, this puppy's wearing a puppy.
Dude!
When we stop, show it to me, I can't.
I forget, Case, because I know you wanted to, but did you drive on the left-hand side of the road when we went to England a few years ago?
No, and you know why? Because when we got to London, I was like, oh, I can't even. I had a hard time crossing the street.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean? I was looking to my right, and then I went to go cross. I'm like, oh my God, there's a car coming from the left.
Thank God they write, because they'll write down. They know the tourism level. They know the amount of people get clipped. They actually print the signs on it. Which side the traffic's coming from?
Yep. No, I remember that exactly, Case.
I was like, oh, this is a bad idea. Maybe if I went out to the countryside or something like that, but not in a major metropolitan
area. It's hilarious what you're saying and what Nick said, though, because my wife has not been driving as much as I have. I mean, because we've all been going to work and doing this stuff as normal. But just driving around our neighborhood, when did they finish that?
Here's a text. It says, so many more people are driving around. It is super annoying, especially when you drive around all day with a trailer. I drive for a landscaping company. It was great when this started because we never stopped, but now it is terrible again, and that is Steve from Collingswood.
Hey, can I bring something up real
quick? Please.
All right. So, and because it has to do with, like, I think it's dangerous. When you're driving on 76 going eastbound and you're right around 30th Street Station and all that, and you have to go under that
overpass, and it's long. It's basically you're driving through a tunnel. They need to light.
I agree.
Underneath, way more. I mean, they got like five orange fluorescent lights, and now, it's terrible. And you go blind.
Are you talking about in the daytime?
Yes,
because you have sun blindness.
It's lit fairly well.
At night, it's fine.
But yes, in the daytime, you go from
sunlight,
complete bright sunlight to immediately, Steve. You know.
Sunblind. Yeah, the same thing happens to me. And your eyes don't have, it's short enough where your eyes don't have enough time to adjust, but just the right length for you to collide into the back of someone in front of you.
It's dangerous.
You just need to take your sunglasses off.
Oh, no, wait. I take my sunglasses off. It has nothing
and
to do with
that. And your pants.
Wow, I always take
my pants off.
I can rub one out quickly before we come out the other side.
No one will see.
Well, you don't have to worry about that, Casey, because for the past however many weekends, they've actually been shutting down 76.
Yeah.
Right from 676 all the way to University. Friday at noon. It's just shut down.
Yeah, I found that out.
Friday at noon. Everyone going to the beach, trying to get home from work. Shut down. There's no Martin Luther King Drive to get off at.
Right.
You're just stuck.
Well, there's been a mishmash of sort of things that people are occurring to people in the long run, and I don't want to make this one of those things because it's about being nervous of returning to... Can we move City Hall?
Yeah, please. Can
we move that...
To the outskirts.
Is the perennial... It occurred to me in the thick of this as I know... Even during quarantine, it doesn't matter.
I hate it.
That bizarre box you have to do around everything. I'll see you on the other side. we'll pick Broadway up on the other side.
Oh, no, yes. I need to stay in this lane for this part.
Yeah.
As I go around the west side of the building. And then when I get to the south side, I need to get over four lanes to the right. It doesn't make any sense. It's really hard to navigate.
Isn't it so quaint that City Hall's right in the middle?
Yeah. It's a beautiful building.
Absolutely. Dear blow God, it up.
Put it somewhere.
Take a picture and blow get rid it of it.
Let's see. Oh, here, Casey, here you go. This texter said you should shut your eyes for 30 seconds before you ever go into a tunnel.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
I think that's why.
That's the worst advice ever.
I went through on my drive out to Kentucky. We had to go through the Blue Mountain Tunnel. And it's two tunnels. You have northbound and southbound, or whichever direction you happen to be going in that time. East and west. And but they have one of the tunnels closed. So you had facing traffic in those tunnels, which is a tad bit freaky.
Yeah.
So it was kind of different.
You know what tunnel does light right? The Lehigh tunnel.
Yep.
That's brilliantly lit. As you come up on it, you don't have to do any adjusting.
You can hold your breath the entire way through.
Those big jet turbine looking fans they have in there.
I feel like they make me faster.
The fans do?
Well, they do.
I do. Nick, I deploy my car sails every time I go through.
It's a completely asinine thought.
The nor'easter.
Right, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm cruising now.
I'm going to go to Pat. He's got an interesting observation because he drives a tractor trailer. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I haven't been off the road at all during the coronavirus, but I started driving a tractor 2 years ago.
All right.
And I drive a Ford Explorer in my personal time, so it's not a small car, nothing huge, but definitely not a little car. And after my first week of training, I was out learning to drive a big truck. When I got back in my Explorer, I was legit freaking out. It just felt like I was a go-kart in, like, a world of giants.
Wow.
I'm on these highways going through, like, West Virginia and stuff, these mountains. I'm going, like, 45 miles an hour on the highway, having to realize how slow I'm going and get back on it. It was a wild experience.
I'll bet, man. And I wonder if the same goes – thanks, Pat, by the way. If the same goes for, you know, people who ride a motorcycle regularly who go back and forth between the car and the motorcycle, if there's a moment of adjustment and remembering – what you're in and what you're, you know, how it's different.
If you don't even think about how many how much background processing you're doing as you're driving. Like I think of, for example, when you see a bus take an arch left in a tight area, those guys are so used to that they can figure it out and not rip the front of the cars off that they're turning past. But for you or for me or that's, you know, that it just looks like impossible. And so the same thing would apply with our own cars. We know our own, okay, I can make this. And a lot of times you think when you were first learning to drive, I can't make it through that.
Yeah.
I can't make it around this car that's making a left. And then you learn that, yeah, you can.
I remember at the last Cardboard Classic, and we're going to have Kreischer on a little bit, his the driver of his tour bus with the trailer on the back.
I was
just absolutely transfixed at watching him swing that thing around and back that trailer in. Not just a trailer attached to a full-size tour bus.
He's a superhero.
And he expertly just slid it right in there. It was impressive.
I tell you what, when I was on my game and we trailered a 17-foot boat and my father, you know, would basically...
You good at it?
I was awesome.
So you could do the backup because you have to like... You have to. It goes against your instincts, right?
We had a driveway that went down a hill. It was just, and it wasn't a regular driveway. It was just two paved tire areas.
Okay.
So I would take the car out, back and arch we'd back the boat into the garage, and I was able to do it up the hill backwards. And you nailed it. Could I do it now? No, I'd take out the house and kill everyone in the neighborhood.
I forgot about that. We had a boat too, and my dad used to back it into the garage.
That's the way to do it. You can't get it out otherwise.
We never had to do that. Our yacht was just too big.
It was always
too big for a trailer.
Hey,
so.
By the way, somebody had texted in, and this is interesting. Where was it, Nick? They were pointing out mail carriers.
Yes.
So mail carriers drive with the driver's side on the other side they can get to the mailbox and everything. How confusing is it for you when you get in your regular car after you're done driving around in the mail truck all day?
The dream of mine was always to get, my dream car was the Aston Martin, the James Bond with the wheel on the proper British side. Like, no, that would F me up like crazy.
I don't know. I wonder because, not having to drive on the left side of the road, it might not be. It's going to be an adjustment, definitely, spatial-wise.
I was watching Ford versus Ferrari, Steve, and the driver's side was on the other side of the car every time, right? Did you notice that? The driver's side that was Christian Bale was driving on the right side of the car.
He was driving a Ford?
He was driving a Ford.
The GT came in from England, remember they said in the beginning?
Right.
And so they, that's...
But even when he was driving in Daytona and stuff...
Was he? I didn't even notice that, Case. Maybe you're right. At least in a couple of scenes, you're right.
I don't even think I could shift with my left hand.
That'd be the hard part.
It's awkward,
And what would your... Would the pedals be the same, right?
They're on the roof. You got to reach around with your hand on top.
How do you do that?
Why would you even put them up there? Because your hands get wet when it's raining.
You want to see something funny? So if you go to the Virgin Islands, U.S. or British Virgin Islands, they drive on the left-hand side of the road there, but they use American-style cars. So if you see a...
Now they're just effing with
them. They really are. So if you see a British person come to the Virgin Islands, they are driving on the side of the road that they're used to, but not the side of the car that they're used to.
Yeah, as Preston says, they're just looking to F you. But one of the great joys, if you ever go to Bermuda, is to watch people first take their swipe at driving a scooter.
Yeah.
Just hang around the parking lot when they try to drive a scooter.
By the way, going back to this study, and I'm going to go to some more calls here in a second, but 28% of the respondents said they felt overwhelmed or overstimulated when returning to a regular driving habit following months of lockdown and social distancing. While there was little difference between men and women, a person's age did affect their response. For those over the age of 65, 40% of those surveyed said they felt very overwhelmed when driving. In contrast, most respondents aged 18 to 35 said they only felt somewhat overwhelmed or felt no change since they last drove. The busier the road or highway, the more overwhelmed a person felt, too.
Well, I can see that when I took a long trip one time, Preston, I'm a bit older. When I got back to the airport to my car, I walked around front to turn the crank. I forgot that they didn't have that anymore.
You don't have to do that anymore. Hang on. Mark's aunt and uncle were both mail carriers. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Sure you can.
That sounded just like it.
It did. It
nice
good.
Job, Mark. What's up, bud?
So my aunt and uncle were both mail carriers, and they bought a Jeep Wrangler back in the 80s and had it shipped to Virginia and converted, and the conversion price was like the same as the price of the Jeep. They paid like $40,000 for this Jeep, but if they made it right-hand drive so that whenever they were driving, whether they were working or driving in their normal day-to-day routine, they were driving on the right-hand side.
Okay. Oh, so they were mail carriers in their professions.
Their job, both of them were mail carriers.
Because they were so used to it.
so they were used to it.
Yeah.
But they bought a Jeep and had it converted, a regular Jeep Wrangler, and had it converted to right-hand drive so that they could use it for work and
right.
for their regular driving vehicle, and they never had to switch.
I see some people that do that in our area that have what you can tell is their personal vehicle, and then they'll put something on it that says, you know, U.S. mail, mail carrier, or whatever it may be. And it's a right-hand drive.
Does it throw
Jeep.
You off?
It's almost always a Jeep
when you're driving and, behind.
And they drove in, and they drove a mail carrier in a rural area.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not like they were driving in the city, but they were always on the right-hand side, and it always freaked me out.
Well, now at this point, like with tolls and stuff like that, you know, Easy Pass, you would never have to worry. That would be a consideration years ago. I mean, you could drive a car, you know, with the driver's side being the traditional passenger side,
yeah.
and not encounter, well, drive the windows. But
yeah,
no. but,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, this is interesting. I'm going to go to Jacob, who's a trash collector. And, Jacob, are you there?
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Right, wait a minute, dude. You drive a right-handed driver's side vehicle?
So I'm on what we call an ASL, a side loader. We have an automated arm. It's like a video game. We have a joystick
yeah.
to pick the trash cans up with.
Okay.
So I drive from the right-hand side 95% of the day, every day.
I have not. Now, they in my neighborhood, the trash company uses a vehicle that picks up the trash cans like that. But I've never stopped to pay attention to see what side they're driving on. Are most of those vehicles right-hand driver side?
You can drive from both sides, but yeah, most of the time when we're in collection mode, most of the time we are on the passenger side.
You have steering wheels on both sides?
Are they both real, or just one have little bells and stuff and like a Fisher Price
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, little fake horn.
Me surprised.
Wow. Now,
all right, so is there a lever or a button that you use to choose which side to engage?
It's a little lever. You pull it one way, it'll face whatever way
Dude.
It faces is the way you're going to drive.
From. It's like a driving instructor's car.
Pretty much.
Yeah, same deal. They, if you've ever been one of those, Preston, where they have the dual controls,
yeah.
you just flip the lever, and that determines which side is driving.
Hey, so Jacob, what's it like when you get into your regular passenger vehicle after driving on the ride all day?
At first, it was a bit odd because it's what you always know.
Yeah.
But once you do it every day, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's second nature.
Yeah. Do you think you could parallel park both ways?
I can. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Nice. All right. Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Not
Jimmy rides a motorcycle, and he's got something to say about as far as getting used to driving. Hey, Jimmy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
Yeah, bud. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say what threw me off real quick is I've been driving bikes for 25
years. He just crashed.
He just crashed his motorcycle. Jimmy?
He might have.
We lost him.
Jimmy, we appreciated you listening.
His final words were, I've been driving
for 25 years. Never had an accident, not even one time.
Hey, I didn't know Exxon had fuel trucks in it. I'm sorry, I just got to turn into the mobile thing.
Terrible.
God, I hope he's actually okay.
I know. I would hate to be laughing at the expense of great God. Injury
I
or
tell
death.
You, at the first try, I was a little nervous, but now...
Wow.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Please call back, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, call back.
Please.
Yeah. While we're waiting for Jimmy, I want to go to Timmy. Or Tim. Hey, Tim, you're on the air. Tim, you had a tip on waving people through a four-way stop.
Yep, that's it. So first off, like, make sure it's your turn. You know, don't, like, be the nice guy because you just screw things up.
Yeah.
Yes!
Agreed.
Steve, here's the move. First hand, you point to the driver. Second hand, you point the direction. Boom, boom.
Good. Okay. What I used to do?
Go.
My thing was just to look in the direction I'm turning and pay no attention. Like, go. But you're right. Maybe I need to be a little more overt and say, you, go, now. Mm-hmm. Because, listen, I think more accidents are caused, and it's a wonderfully generous thing. but I can't tell if the light is glaring on the windshield. And then you do that little, the car starts jerking forward and who's going to go? And it ends up making it worse.
What if you do the BJ tongue in your cheek?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Give me oral here.
That's got a directional motion to it, right?
Can you try that one?
Yeah.
Tongue in the direction you want to go, right?
Yeah. Oh, hey, good news. Jimmy's alive.
Yay! Yes!
Okay.
I don't feel so good.
Jimmy, are you okay?
No, I'm fine. What'd you guys do? Kick me off the show?
No, it sounded like you crashed.
We thought you hit a bridge embankment.
I feel so bad now in my life.
All right. So you ride motorcycles. That's right.
Yes, sir. I rode a Harley-Davidson Road King for 25 years, and I could zip through turns, I could go fast, I could do whatever. I felt good about myself, but then I just recently bought a Goldwing. And if you know about the front of the bikes, the fairing doesn't move when you turn. It's just the handlebars, but the whole front of the bike stays, like, still.
How do you steer it?
Well, no, the handlebars move.
Okay.
But, like, I mean the whole front fairing, the dash and stuff like that doesn't move.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So I got on this bike thinking I was He-Man, and you don't have to teach me nothing. I know what I'm doing. I felt I had to relearn the whole thing over again. It felt like I was nervous taking turns. I'm shaking. I'm thinking, I don't know if I could do this.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you couldn't turn the handlebars. So call us later on from Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah. You just have to go straight. But, yeah, I could see that way. Anything like that throws you off,
yeah,
right? That it goes to the whole distraction. And at the core of this story, which Preston was originally reading from, it's that sensory overload because people have not been used to it. They haven't been doing it as routine.
Right.
Right, yeah, exactly. All right, guys.
Thanks, man.
Jeez, man.
Appreciate it. Oh, thank God we found out he's okay.
It literally sounded as if he had collided with something.
All right, well, you know what? Ease into it. That's all we can say. Yeah. Ease into it. Drive around a little bit.
Close your eyes for 30 seconds.
Yeah, before you go into a tunnel. ease around a little bit before you go into busy areas. Casey, what did you want me to play?
Oh, no, it was just Jimmy when he called back.
Nobody knows for sure.
I thought it was that Don scene Ray from Goodfellas. Tonsa Cargo Terminal at Kennedy Airport. You know what I'm talking about?
$2 million. All right. It gets better here.
$4 million. Okay. The city cops say fine. Your counselor counts on anyone. I can promise to protect your silence soon.
Okay. It just said Goodfellas shower scene. I didn't know.
The only
Jimmy.
Reason I remember that is because they dubbed Jimmy Rollins.
I remember.
Yes. Okay.
The radio.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty awesome. Okay. Well, anyhow, be careful on the road. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. When we return, Bert freaking Kreischer on the show. Stay with us.
What's new?
Why do you ask?
Godsmack. Killers. Green Day.
We just keep on dreaming.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're working on getting Bert on the phone. He hasn't answered yet, so we'll try to get him on here shortly. But Bert Kreischer, if you're just tuning in, that is. A couple emails real quick. This says, hey, Preston and Steve, you can't imagine how thrilled my daughter Ann Gorski was to hear her birthday mention on today's show. This is from yesterday. We had 50 of her closest friends also send her a card, and it was fun. So please send her that card. She's an essential healthcare worker and deserves the best for her 40th. And you guys are her favorites. Thanks. And that is from Frank Buck. And then I got this other email. It says, hey, guys, I caught your apology to me this morning. As I was pulling into work, you didn't need to do that, but thank you for acknowledging it. My sister sent out cards to friends and family to send me throughout June to have a month-long celebration. It's pretty nice.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Since we couldn't have a 40th party for me this year, she had sent one to you guys. I didn't expect you to do it. And I've been listening since the Preston, Marilyn, and Steve days.
Aww.
And have gone to every Eggs with Peg. You guys rock. From Ann Gorski.
Ann Gorski.
It was nice to hear from you. I'd messed up and not sent these cards, and I'd been sitting on them for a couple of months, and they were for Ann. So anyhow, she was thankful to hear about all that. Hey, today, for those who may not be aware. It's always National Something Day.
Yeah, it's getting a little old, but
today's National Hot Dog Day.
I'm down with hot dogs.
I love hot dogs.
You know, you pick the days that you're into. Everything else is crap if you don't believe in it, but I believe in hot dogs.
Yep. And I have some information about hot dogs.
Well, we need this information. Yes, we learned about the sun earlier in the week.
We did.
Now. And now we need to know about the hot dogs. You're a bit of a hot dog aficionado. Don't you like them?
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. I've got to be... There are some moments that demand hot dogs. A baseball game demands a hot dog. Almost any sporting event.
Rescuing a child from a well.
That demands a hot dog.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. I'm not a hot dog... Like, I don't throw them on the grill at home.
No.
I usually buy them somewhere else.
Interesting.
I will grill hamburgers.
Yes, me too.
I will not grill hot dogs.
But hot dogs aren't something that I make at home. I usually buy them somewhere.
Right,
and
right.
Usually when they come in like a foil package or something like that, that's my...
I like it that.
Or at a cart, I'll do hot dogs. But I don't... As a teenager and maybe in my 20s, I ate hot dogs all the time, nonstop. I was just, it's an easy go-to, and they're always yummy.
Do you remember when you were a teenager and you got to second base with your first hot dog? It was just amazing.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. There's so many hot dog stories I can relate to you guys. Here's a hot, here's a hot dog tip for you.
My Hot Dog Stories by Casey Foster.
All right, so I have a Yeti. It's basically a Yeti thermos, right? And you seal the top to it. What you should do if you're going to the beach is you throw boiling water into the Yeti thermos.
Oh. Right.
And then you dump a whole bunch.
A little bit of tequila like Kathy does.
No. Well, like, if you're into that. But you can dump a whole package of hot dogs into it, and then you have hot dogs ready to eat on the beach.
Okay. That's a pretty good idea. I mean, hot dogs themselves in the package are cooked.
Sure.
You can eat them raw, which is kind of weird. I only did that as a little kid. But...
Right.
If you throw them in really piping hot water, they will taste cooked if they've been in there for a while.
Yeah.
Casey, that's a great idea.
That's honestly what they do at the stand.
Yeah, they boil them.
My father used to subscribe to the notion that the filthiest stands delivered the best hot dogs. And that if
there's
the guy...
There's merit in that.
Yes, yeah. Dirty fingernails, some sort of facial sores, things like that.
All of them
would make the hot dog taste better.
Well, listen, the last stand was my hot dog joint that I went to all growing up. It was dirty. I don't want to say it was dirty, but
it was not clean.
It was not. Well, I don't know.
The equivalent of a greasy spoon, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's all it was. It was just basically a fryer and, you know, and some fridges and a soda fountain.
And canker sores.
And that was it.
But a good way to make them, though, is to boil them and grill them. But you don't need to grill them long. The boiling them gets the internal temperature up, and then the grilling them will do kind of, make the outside a little bit. It changes the texture.
Yeah, okay.
And gives you a really cool taste, I think.
One of the things I always looked at growing up, and it was in the Sears catalog, and I always thought about asking Santa for it. For some reason, they stuck it in the toy section, was one of those hot dog roller thingies. Do you have one?
Yeah, we got... we got one for the kids when they were... growing up, I'm sorry, I think maybe Santa brought it for the kids. And, you know, we had a hot dog party. I want to say we still have it. I just did.
But you just don't use it as one of those appliances you have that ends up in the basement or whatever?
I don't know if it made its way to the new house when we
moved. I hate kitchen gadgets and appliances like that because they're fun for 5 minutes.
And then you never use them.
And then you put them away and they just take up space.
Yeah.
You know, like a fajita thing or a margarita mixer or whatever.
Oh, a bread maker.
This is a bread maker.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Snow cones.
You know, you can buy that.
Yeah, it's like having a gem polisher or a wood burning.
Right.
Oh, a wood burning kit.
A rock tumbler.
We'll do this for decades to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, though, Marissa has one. She's on the line. Hi, Marissa. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Marissa?
Good. So my birthday was actually a couple of weeks ago, and anybody who knows me knows I love hot dogs. I will eat them for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. So he actually got me one of those rollers like you see at 7-Eleven. He got them on like Amazon for like $20, and I was like, "How do you do this?" There he is. So again, Casey, same thing with you know, those kitchen gadgets that it's just sitting in my cupboard.
Do you have, so you don't have it going all the time like they do at 7-Eleven? Because I honestly, I love the, they're all beef hot dogs at 7-Eleven. I like the Wawa's as well. I just prefer regular buns as opposed to the faux bread that looks
I love it.
See, I don't New like that. I like bun. A regular style hot dog
What about
bun.
Potato buns?
Yeah. Thank you, Marissa. You're welcome. Appreciate it. Guys. My wife likes to buy the top split buns.
That's New England style.
We could eat hot dogs together.
I like them, but I prefer
Let's those. You and I eat a hot dog together. You start on one side.
We'll do that, just like Lady and the Tramp. No, I prefer the regular bun. Although, pet peeve, when it comes to hot dog, if that bun splits at the bottom and then you got essentially a hot dog sandwich thing.
It's a nightmare.
It's not good anymore.
And yet, people with full paralysis complain.
And by the way, I don't want to hear the argument, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Because it is.
Shut up. I don't want to hear the argument. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it's not an argument. It's a sandwich. It's meat in between two pieces of bread.
It's a hot dog. Anyway, were you going to say something else?
I probably was.
Okay,
Preston,
so let me go to some facts about hot dogs.
Okay. And maybe this will change your mind about your stupid perception.
For the history of National Hot Dog Day, the term itself was derived in the 19th century. Because originally they're called Frankfurters.
Yes.
At a time when German immigrants brought their own culinary traditions with them to the New World.
Lest we forget, it was the Germans who were also responsible, Preston, for the hamburger, Hamburg, Germany.
There you go. So it's believed that they brought to New York America's first hot dogs, originally referred to as the Dachshund sausage for their long shape that resembled the beloved Dachshund pups, or as I call it, a Duchon.
And the meat was often made from actual Dachshunds.
Around 1870, Charles Feltman, a German immigrant, began to sell hot dogs out of a stand on Coney Island.
Yeah.
And he sold over 3,600 Frankfurters in a bun that year alone. While we can't completely be sure how or even when National Hot Dog Day was created, we do know that the day was created as a nod to National Hot Dog Month in July by the National Hot Dog Sausage Council to highlight this fan favorite. And hot dogs became a household name in the late 19th century when casual food lover and baseball team owner of the St. Louis Browns, better known as the Cardinals, Chris Von De Ahe, had brought the two together at his own amusement park. So he got baseball and hot dogs.
That was the first union, and it's kind of a perennial. Yeah. You always think of hot dogs at the ballpark.
Yep, absolutely. Dollar Dog Night.
Dollar Dog Night.
Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
They had tried pudding, and it was not as successful.
Dollar Pudding Night?
Dollar Pudding Night, and they just hand you pudding.
Yeah, there's no container.
Right.
They just put your hands
put your
out.
Hand out.
Here, it's your pudding.
But it's only a dollar, so.
Yeah.
Bigger hands, more pudding.
Mm-hmm. Right? Buy me some pudding and Cracker Jacks.
That actually fits.
It does, yeah.
It does fit. So here are, and according to this article, five facts about Hot Dog Day that will blow your mind.
I mean, seriously.
That's what it says.
Get ready to have your world rocked.
Mm-hmm. All right, number five.
Oh, I have something for that, Preston.
Okay.
Okay, hang on a second.
I'll wait. Yeah. I'll wait. It's all good. Are we ready?
Five.
That's it? Wait, do it again, please. Here we go.
Five.
Okay. That's from Hamilton.
Yeah.
On this.
Is that about hot dogs?
Five.
On Independence Day, on the summer holiday, over 155 million hot dogs are reportedly consumed. So I think that is the busiest hot dog day of the year is 4th of July, Independence
Day. No doubt, yeah. But with all the backyard barbecues.
Number four.
So let me get this straight. Hamilton is about hot dogs.
Yeah.
I was told that Alexander Hamilton. I had no idea.
Well, I think
it's just a sip of the iceberg.
That's right.
This is the tip of the hot dog. A street vendor favorite from New York City to Chicago to Philadelphia, you can find hot dogs on most street corners.
That's the mind-blowing information you have for us.
Think about that. I know you're too busy getting snockered at your yoga classes to think about this, but
that's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Not everyone's having tequilas when they're doing downward dog.
You know what actually I thought of as soon as you said that was God, I'll never buy another hot dog from a street vendor.
Oh, really?
Like, they're just now, I'm saying now, in today's world, with
to be
what's
honest,
happening. Yeah. Like,
I'm going to ask for extra coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thoughts on sauerkraut, gentlemen, lady?
No.
Well,
no?
I do love sauerkraut. Carter has made his own sauerkraut. We recently tried it the other day.
Are you kidding me?
No, I kid you not.
And?
It's good. It needs to ferment a little bit longer, but it doesn't have quite that sour. It tastes still too cabbagey, but he's working on it.
See if he could build a living human.
Okay, I'll see if we can work on that. I love sauerkraut.
Me too.
Yep.
I don't like it on hot dogs, though, believe it or not.
What do you like it with?
Ice cream.
Okay.
I think I'm pregnant.
It's good on a Reuben.
Yeah, on a Reuben, okay. I love it, yes.
But no, I do love it on hot dogs.
All right, so hot dogs, I can either go spicy or regular mustard, but with sauerkraut, spicy.
Okay, that's a good combination. Mm-hmm. I approve. All right, so we have another fact.
Number three.
Okay.
Now that I know it's about hot dogs.
Yeah. You should go back and watch it again.
Been holding out.
There's a lot of subtext to it that we missed out on. Okay, so.
Number three
is.
That's why it's produced by Oscar Mayer.
Here you go. This is another one that'll blow you away, Kathy. Sports and hot dogs go together.
You got to be kidding.
Oh, yeah. I love playing baseball.
Well, explain. You can't just leave us hanging there. How so?
Over 26 million hot dogs are sold annually at baseball stadiums in the United States. One of America's favorite pastime.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, they didn't want to take a hard stand saying it was the favorite pastime.
It's one of.
You're going to offend a lot of people.
You're going to be clear on this.
In this outrage culture.
Yeah, right?
So people freak out. Not playing sports and eating hot dogs at the same time.
Nope. Sports and hot dogs go together.
Though they used to, and that led to the great mass slaughter of 1928.
Yeah. All right, here's the next one. Condiments make a hot dog thrive.
Oh, get the hell thrown out. Throw that list out.
So you don't get pregnant?
No, that's condoms.
Oh.
This is condiments.
Okay.
So of all
mint you put on condoms.
Of all the toppings you can add to a hot dog, what do you think number one is?
Mustard.
Correct.
Yeah, it has to be.
What do you think the second most popular hot dog condiment?
Ketchup.
Pudding.
Relish.
Pudding. No, it's ketchup.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, and I'd be curious too. Obviously, ketchup would be the number one for hamburgers, but I bet you mustard is probably second.
I do both on hamburgers.
Yeah. What about mayonnaise?
A little bit of that is fine too. I don't have a requirement. I change it up from time to time with hamburgers, hot dogs. I always go straight up mustard, and I will add some relish or sauerkraut. So, what do you think the third most popular condiment is?
Relish?
For ketchup. I mean, not ketchup, for hot dogs.
What do you put on your ketchup?
I put hot sauce on my ketchup.
Mustard, then actually I do like mixing a little hot sauce in the ketchup, Casey. It's really good. All right, so mustard, ketchup, and then you say relish?
Yeah.
What else?
Onions.
What else?
Cheese.
Onions. I saw the answer.
It's chili.
Chili. Oh, yeah. People
a
like
good
that.
Chili dog is pretty awesome. So, I rarely have them, but I do love them. They're
I do agree.
Mess, though. They're a mess.
I agree. So I will not have sauerkraut I don't want, but a chili dog I can entertain now and then.
Yes.
See, that's why The Last Stand, their chili was not necessarily a chili as much as it was just a sauce. So it didn't
Woodcock.
It didn't get messy.
All right, well,
I miss it so much that I've actually been contemplating, like, I want to buy. No, I want to buy the recipe from the people who own the place because it was
for
their
own personal use or to start up a business.
I want to start it up again.
Okay. You have come to me for the recipe, but you must prove yourself. Are you worthy?
He has to pass a test.
Yes.
Wow.
Are you worthy of the Last Stand hot dog recipe?
He's asking you.
I'm aware of it. I just don't know how to make it.
No, he wants to know if you're worthy.
Am I? Oh, yes.
All right. Were you ever in the Running Away Club?
I'm the founder of the Running Away Club.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think if you could get it, especially with all the people that you know in that area who are such fans of that particular, why don't you see if you can get together and invest and imagine if you were part owner of the Last Stand.
Let me try this. let me try this out on you. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Casey's Last Stand.
I mean,
that rolls off the tongue, dude.
It does. It do.
Casey's Last Stand.
And I can sell custard. as well, because it's like Custer's last stand. Pretend like I didn't say that, guys.
Oh, no, I just didn't get it.
Yeah. No.
And that's what you want for the consumer. You want to make sure they're confused.
Yes.
So I had talked to like the original owners of The Last Stand about a year and a half ago.
Were they interested?
Well, you know what they said? They said,
"Who are you?"
They said, "Do you know how many hot dogs you need to sell in order to make a profit?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I understand that. You know, so it's not like, you know, it's a gold mine." You know,
you wouldn't.
I said mine.
Yes, you did.
I did.
It's a gold
Thank
mine.
You for catching that.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. I just want to say I misspoke.
Did you say gold mine? You're too stupid to own a hot dog stand.
I misspoke. I did. I don't actually think it's gold mined.
I gotcha. It's all good. It's all good.
So it's not like it's a gold mine.
You're
gold mine.
You're so used to saying squeezed.com. Right?
I bet you went to college.
Damn it.
All right. The question about the chili and the sauce. So
yes.
You said it's more of a sauce than it is a chili. Is there meat in it?
There's meat.
Okay.
Beans.
That's chili-esque.
There are beans.
That's okay. Chili.
But you won't. But it's not like full beans. And so the only reason I don't really
Tap
like
beans?
It's like quarter beans.
Quarter
I
beans.
Guess maybe the beans are like minced up or something. I'm not really
minced exact beans.
Okay. Mm. So kind of like refried beans where it's kind of like pasty.
Not quite. Yeah, I'm telling you.
I think it's probably what he's describing is probably a more instead of a more cohesive.
Okay,
it's more of a sauce than a chili.
Listen,
correct?
Let's
it more of it's like a chili sauce?
Can we, Bill Weston?
Is it a chili sauce?
It's a chili sauce. I've
Bill
already
Weston.
Said it was a sauce. Now, Bill Weston spent a lot of time in Rhode Island, where they take their hot dogs very serious.
He's in here,
and I think you might know what I'm talking about because I think this chili sauce is. Something that's kind of common up there, is it not?
Yeah, I know what the name is. They call them gaggers up there, by the way. You know they call them hot dogs gaggers?
That was John Holmes' name.
I swear to God, they call them gaggers.
I was going to say, that's what they call
And you get a gagger.
Kathy in college, but no. Never. 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 Never.
Never.
It's Marissa.
You should get mad at Casey for that.
Hey, gaggers.
It's a gagger that you drag through the garden. That means you, like, put everything on, like tomatoes and whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a chili sauce, but I don't recall beans in it. Right? It's kind of chunky. It's got a little bit of meat and the tomato stuff base on it, but it doesn't have beans in it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you fondly remember those? Were they delicious? Or yeah.
There's a semi truck in the main square of Providence called Haven Brothers, and that's the place to go when the bars close, and you get like three or four of those things and totally regret it.
Are these them, Bill? There's a picture up on the.
Gaggers, yeah.
That's a gagger.
That's
yeah, you can see right there by the testicle.
Tell you what's a good one. It's overwhelming. There's a lot on it, but a Chicago dog is pretty damn good. And it comes with, like, tomato and relish and hot pepper. But the key ingredient to a Chicago dog, and I guarantee you put this on your hot dog, you will be surprised, it is celery salt.
Mm-hmm.
You've had it, right?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's a game changer in hot dogs.
It's a gagger.
There's
a freaking gagger, man.
There's that place called Johnny's, and I don't know if they exist
You
anymore.
Ever go to Spitstrings?
No.
Oh, on 202?
No.
Two people at the same time eating
Oh,
that.
My God.
Johnny's Doghouse, not Johnny's whatever that one on 202 is, Casey, that you're talking about.
Oh, I know where that is. Yep.
But there was a few Johnny's Doghouses around. There was one in Wayne, and then they ended up having one in the airport. Anyway, they specialized in hot dogs, Preston, and they would put celery salt on their dogs, and you're right. It makes it a better dog.
Yep. It's a subtle flavor that you're like, what is it? What's different about this hot dog?
I like Pink's. They have one of those in the King of Prussia Mall. They came in and did a meeting with us last year. They're really good. But they, Steve, to your point, like,
those are
a meal.
Yeah.
You know, they're really good.
Let me ask
but it's
you,
a lot.
In conjunction with baseball starting back up, obviously, are any of the places, I assume, to try to pick up some of that business, are any of these places doing any curbside?
That's a good question.
Hot dog stuff, you know?
Are you talking about like the ballparks just offering it
outside
for lunch while games aren't going on?
While games are being played.
Pinocchio's does.
I don't know.
They would
something to get some business.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pinocchio's always did like dollar dogs during the games.
Right. Right.
Tech says the Weston hates soup. His food opinions are worthless.
The Weston?
Wow. The Weston.
That's a new one.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
By the way, there was another text that said, I stand with Casey even if he doesn't stand.
Oh.
So meaning
I don't stand anymore. They're talking about sit wiping.
Pooping and wiping.
I would love to see Casey's Last Stand, since your adoration and nostalgia for it. And obviously, like Anthony here on the phone, a lot of people agreeing with you about it's legend.
Hi, Anthony. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? Delco in the house.
Yeah. Love it. All right. So, The Last Stand. You wanted to comment on that?
Oh, yeah. I got to go with Casey on this, man. The Last Stand was the best. Hands down the best. I almost cried when they closed.
Wow.
I don't know if it was the cheese. I'm a cheese dog guy. I don't know what it was. They got something going on there.
Anthony, what about this chili he referred to? Did you ever try that?
Yeah, the chili. So it wasn't like soupy like a chili I kind of picture normally. It was more like a, I don't want to say pasty, but it was like...
It was chili paste.
Stew kind of.
Okay. All right, I got you. It sticks together. I've had. Thank you, by the way. I've had meat chilies that are really thick.
Yeah,
and they put that on.
And
on
a gagger. Press. You would talk about celery salt being like a great flavor enhancer for a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Their sauce, their quote unquote chili sauce, is I think more of a flavor enhancer than it was of anything of substance.
They put that on their Montequifos.
God.
How long have you been sitting on Monte Cuisos?
Just came over there right now.
I love it.
You know what the chili is? Well, see, now we're getting hungry. You're going off. Now I'm thinking about chili as well. But there's a place, classic rock and roll location, featured in, and you'll see it pop up in all sorts of movies. It's called Barney's Beanery. It's on the Sunset Strip. It's where Jim Morrison and all Janis Joplin. Probably, so your dad was probably there, Kathy.
Yes, he was there.
All went there, and they're known for their chili, which is legendary.
Hang on. Let me go to Steve, because he wants to point out a place they wouldn't think about getting a great hot dog at, that actually they have great hot dogs. So I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. What'd you want to point out, bud?
I think one of the best hot dogs is actually Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
I would never consider getting a hot dog there because the burgers are so damn good.
Oh, yeah. Everybody goes for the burger, but I'm telling you, I used to work there, and we'd get like the one meal a day, and getting a hot dog there is phenomenal.
Really?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right. And I guess, Steve, you probably had it because you worked there. You got tired of having the hamburgers all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you get creative there, you know? You got an open kitchen, so.
I worked at Dunkin' Donuts for years, and I would always have the hot dogs, and then I realized they didn't sell hot dogs.
Listen, when you do work in the restaurant business, and I think we all have at one time or another in some shape or form, you do get tired of the food of wherever you're working.
Yeah.
And you want to have something else.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I stopped having donuts and had munchkins.
No, they're the same.
Change it up.
Sorry, Kath.
Since we're mentioning places, I have to mention there's a place in Center City, if you're craving a hot dog today, it's called Destination Dogs, and all hot dogs on the menu. Plus, you can get like sausages, vegan options, all sorts of stuff. I had a calendar raid a few months ago there and stayed and had hot dogs because they were so good.
Nice. When's the last hot dog you had?
Like veggie dog or hot
dog?
No,
real hot dog.
Oh, geez.
How long ago do you think it was?
Middle school.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think fondly about that at all? About, you know...
The only time I ever crave...
Meat? Go ahead. You can say it.
The only time I ever crave meat is walking past Jim's Steaks on South Street.
Okay.
That's great.
That's
like the one time it smells really, really good.
Okay.
Actually, I was a food truck drive by the other day and had bacon cooking. But I'm good. And there's like always so many options. You can just do a veggie dog.
Yep.
Veggie dogs are good. Right. Some of them are really good.
I'm still sitting on the number one thing that will blow your mind.
Oh, I can't wait.
About hot dogs. Five facts. This is National Hot Dog Day.
Kathy, you might want to lay down.
Why are we talking about it? Okay, here we go.
Number one.
Okay.
Someone hold my hand.
Number one, 7-Eleven sells millions of them a year.
Whoa.
I do believe that, actually.
Blown your mind?
It's actually, for about a year.
You loved those, right?
Oh, man, I love them. I would get the two, quarter pound dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
They are all beef, and they were really good, and sensational. You had to go at the right time, though, because sometimes they would let them spin a little too much.
Like, they always look shriveled up.
Yes.
It was like me
getting out of the water.
Yeah. I don't have a 7-Eleven near me, so I very rarely get to one. But I was in Souderton, and it was I needed to go to a convenience store, and I was hungry. I'm like, you know what? I'm getting one of these just for the hell of it, Steve. They had the cheeseburger thing.
It's not bad.
It's ground beef. stuffed with cheese inside of it. I'm like, just for fun, I'll get this. It was actually good, Kathy.
Do you know what'll blow your mind, too?
I couldn't believe it.
They're pizza.
Yeah. What?
At 7-Eleven?
It reminds you fondly of cafeteria pizza in school. And it's like, if you're, listen, like for me, if you're near a Wawa, you just get, you have the full deli and the full array. 7-Eleven doesn't have that.
Well, you're talking about a corporation that has, you know, tens of thousands of stores across the country. The food has been researched. You know, it's like when you talk about, you know, Papa John's or Domino's. I know people like their you know, corner pizza stores, but, you know, these are places that, that have, like...
My dad gets pizza in Dallas.
Yeah.
Domino's.
Yeah.
That's his go-to. That's... And his thing, it's got to have a lot of cheese.
Well, the key about big places like that, Casey, is the same thing, say, like big beer companies, is they find a way to make it consistent. Where you will know exactly what you're going to get every time, no matter where you get it. And so they've worked out a formula. And, of course, they've taste tested it and make sure that it is appealing and so on. But the most important thing is that they have consistency.
Yeah.
And no matter where in the nation or the world that you go to get it, it's going to taste exactly the same.
My brother-in-law is a Bud guy. Bud, that's his beer
and
choice.
That's what they do.
And he knows that he gets exactly what he wants, and he gets it all the time. Yep.
My friend did that for Wawa. I think he's in a different position now, but basically was part of the team that decided what goes on the shelves in Wawa and why and how much in what store and all that.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a marketing science, to be honest, how they do that stuff. So just a couple of more facts about 7-Eleven.
Oh, 7-Eleven.
And in 2014 alone, 7-Eleven sold well over 60 million hot dogs.
60 million.
That is actually
that's pretty amazing.
A ridiculous number.
That's mind-blowing.
In 2014. And in 2017, they sold over 100 million hot dogs. So for whatever got into us in 2017.
That's one hot dog each for 100 million people.
It spurned a hot dog explosion of some sort. You're right, Steve.
Yeah.
Your figures are accurate.
I want to expand on that so you can understand what we're talking about.
Right.
So can you guys do anything but all beef hot dogs?
I prefer them, but if they're made out of...
What are the other options?
Styrofoam?
Chicken dogs, styrofoam.
Now, pork dogs.
Sure.
What's up, pork dog?
Not much, ham ass.
Pork dog.
I don't mind the other,
I got to do all beef. All beef.
So, wait a minute. So, like, Oscar Mayer wieners and so on, those aren't all beef, are they?
You have different varieties.
Right. Any Hebrew National is beef.
Some of them are very specifically state on there, all beef. Franks or hot dogs. I hate the term Frank, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
It's a cool name, though. You want it to be called Frank.
I know
for a
that, but
bit.
Not for my hot dog.
No.
Not for what I'm eating.
It's too casual.
How many Franks?
Franklin.
No. A wiener.
Dog. No, I'm not a wiener fan.
Hot dog. Give me it's hot dog.
Hot dog.
Man. Hot dogs.
I call them Hamiltons.
Dogs. You call them Hamiltons? That's right.
You know, based off the Broadway play.
If you, go to the ballpark, Preston, do you say beer and a dog?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And they sometimes give you a dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
A foster. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of hot dogs, I got a text because I do love these, the pretzel dogs.
Yes.
And Annie Ann's.
Okay. Those are good.
I got a text from somebody a moment ago who said, in conjunction with the Bizarre File story about the busboy that called in sick saying he had COVID, she said she worked with someone who tried to fake COVID by putting a warm hot dog pretzel on their forehead. And then having the temperature taken, and it was 101.5.
I'll tell you this, and that's brilliant, by the way.
It is actually pretty smart.
No, insane.
It's crazy, but smart.
I'll say this. Pretzeled bread is sensational.
It's great.
Especially when used for hot dogs, when used on even for hamburgers. It's wonderful bread. It should be used a lot more.
Yeah, Nick, Philly Pretzel Factory.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The hot sausage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we do? And Rochelle hasn't done this in a while. God damn it, I'm going to divorce her.
wow.
No. She hasn't done this in a while, but you take, you get crescent rolls. You get a container of crescent rolls. And then those little, what do you call the little hot dogs? The miniature ones, the baby ones.
Oh, yeah.
Little penises.
Little penises.
No,
Marissa's saying it. What is it, Marissa?
Cocktail wieners.
Cocktail wieners. And you take, you tear off, you cut the dough from the crescent rolls up into small triangles or squares or whatever.
Aren't they pigs in the poke?
It's pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
And they're
make your own, they're probably better.
They're really, really good. And they're super duper easy to make. And you get some mustard, a couple different kinds of mustard, spicy, honey mustard, whatever.
And you end up
whatever.
Eating about 30 of them.
And you do.
Because they're so good.
Absolutely gorge on them. And you feel like you're eating nothing because they're so small.
Hey, I didn't have like a whole, I just had like 30 tiny ones.
You ever hear Homer Simpson's rant on those when he talks about the sauce? He's like, brother, that ain't ketchup. But he like, there's like a 30-second setup. Yeah, it's Marissa, if you can find it. He goes on about the stuff that you put on the pigs in a blanket.
the way that he sums it up
with, brother, that ain't ketchup. Gets me every time.
Well, you can go to the fanciest gala, and they will have, you know, pigs in a blanket for you.
You go to Bill Gates' house, there's a big barrel of pigs in the blanket right when you walk in.
Yep.
Right?
I believe it. And a lot of...
Buckingham Palace?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pigs in a blanket. Absolutely.
Swine in a contraption.
Snossages. You remember that? Snossages.
Yeah, that's dogs for kids, dog treats, right? Yeah.
Were you eating them?
Did you ever try to eat one?
No, but I faked my brother into eating one because... My older brother was...
I tried to put out Gaines burgers at a party one time.
That's right. Wait, on purpose?
Really? Yes. And people ate them.
Ooh, somebody says, this is from our friend Tucker, do pigs in a blanket but with breakfast sausage for breakfast. Mm. That's a good idea.
Do you guys like grilling just like regular sausage instead of dogs? On the grill?
You know, it's grilling hot. Regular sausage?
Yeah, like, you know...
Like breakfast sausage?
Not breakfast sausage.
Like Italian sausage.
Like an Italian sausage on the grill.
Sure.
Yeah,
those are good.
It's fun.
And bratwurst and stuff like that.
I like hot dogs, yet I don't like any much else in the sausage factory.
Do you not like the casing? Does the casing and like the chewiness throw you off?
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like the stuff like bloodwurst or any of the...
I like knockwurst and bratwurst and hot dogs.
When you go
when you get into liverwurst and stuff like that, I'm not into it. It's a little mushy.
When you're at the ballpark, there are a few stands where they grill the sausage and they grill the peppers and onions.
It looks good.
That ropes me in every time. And it's just out on display. My mouth's watering talking about it.
There's a guy, I forget, this guy would always come into this gym years ago. You gotta go to this place, you gotta get your biggest sausages. I know! I don't like them!
All right, here's the Homer Simpson about cocktail weenies.
Well, you can't go wrong with cocktail weenies. They taste as good as they look, and they come in this delicious red sauce. It looks like ketchup. It tastes like ketchup. But, brother, it ain't ketchup.
Oh, that's excellent. I love it. All right, well... National hot dog.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to blow your mind with all those facts. So hopefully your mind.
I feel like I felt at the end of 2001 the first time I saw it.
That's
what my mind has been blown.
That's what we were going for, brother. All right. Let's take a break and come back. Keep in mind, we have a secret text word. And today it is your chance to win a free month of Philo. Or is it Philo?
Philo dough.
And it's also Philo dough. Some people... Philo.
Whatever. Let's call the whole thing off.
And an Amazon Fire TV stick, by the way.
It's Steik.
You can text word SECRET to 39333. We'll bounce word back to you, see if you can win a little bit. And we'll grab a random text or two. So get on that, because time's running out. Don't know what happened to Kreischer. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see about that. All right. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, here it comes. Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by HERS. Pick up a specially marked bag of HERS today for a chance to win $10,000. And take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summerhers.com. HERS, forever good. Police in Delaware say a 12-year-old boy stole a pickup truck from a gas station and led officers on a high-speed chase. This was on the 18th.
How high speed?
They didn't indicate in this particular story, Steve, but he must have been moving. Delaware State Police say that the boy stole a 2003 Ford Ranger while its owner was using an ATM at a Wawa gas station, and that was in Newcastle. And police have not yet released the boy's name. They say the boy refused to stop the vehicle, then crashed into a parked car, did a U-turn, then sped up and crashed into the guardrail after failing to make a curve.
You're not going to take me alive.
He then exited the truck, Steve, and he ran. He fled on foot before he was arrested by troopers. Police say he does face multiple charges, including three felonies, man, at 12.
Wow.
Yeah. A large pool float isn't going to be very safe on a big river. A man and a woman had to be rescued by New York City firefighters on Sunday when their commercial raft, which, by the way, was shaped like a giant swan, was sucked into the East River near the 55th Street.
Stop looking at me, swan!
I've seen those suckers. They're huge.
The FDNY dispatched a boat to rescue them around 4:30 in the afternoon after officers were informed that the pool toy had unwittingly sailed into heavy marine traffic.
Oh, God.
The couple was evaluated by EMS workers. When they returned to the shore, no injuries were reported. A pool float. Three people face drug charges after officials from three agencies searched the car and home of a woman, seizing about $12,000 worth of heroin and other drugs, as well as a live alligator.
Mm.
Jessica Hutchins was outside the Beverage Mart when officials observed her allegedly selling crack cocaine to a man. Armed with a search warrant, and the officials had impounded the black Chevrolet Cobalt and took it to the sheriff's office, and they found 100 grams of heroin, crack cocaine, powdered cocaine, and fentanyl.
They're drug dealers, and they have a Chevy Cobalt?
Yeah, as well as digital scales, cash, and other drug-related paraphernalia inside the car. They searched her apartment, seized about 4.5 grams of crack cocaine and powder cocaine, along with drug packaging material, digital scales, cash, and drug paraphernalia. Police also said, we also got an alligator out of the home. The 2-foot-long alligator...
Oh, 2 foot.
Which is being housed in Rubbermaid tubs, was taken to the Marine Warden Service. Having an alligator in Maine is illegal if someone does not have proper permits. And drug dealers, I mean, people are really, they like to have bizarre,
tigers,
exotic big animals.
Scarface,
right?
Like the alligators. But like, you remember, like in Miami Vice, remember he had an alligator on his boat.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
Not 2 feet.
So, have you ever had a reason to break into your own home? Yes, I have. Locking keys inside, things like that.
Likewise.
But a man in the UK recently did so, but it was because he was worried about his kebab getting cold.
As in, like, shish kebab?
Yeah, kebabs are a big thing in Britain. Reese Barr apparently drank at least 20 pints of beer and at least 5 Jaeger bombs.
Whoa.
Jesus.
Before returning to his home in the early hours of July 12th, he figured out that he was locked out of the house, and then he tried to sleep in a bar that he had built for himself in his backyard, but he couldn't get comfortable.
I can't get comfortable. What is about my kebab?
So he grabbed a 20-foot ladder and leaned it against his bedroom window. Security camera footage shows him breaking the window with a mallet and holding a bag with a kebab inside of it with his other hand. He then throws the bag of food through the broken window before diving in after it. He says when he woke later on, he had no idea how he got into the house until he watched the footage, and he adds that it was worth it to be able to eat his food while it was still warm.
Oh, so the fact that he even remembers doing that
made all the difference for him. You guys may have seen the video of this, but news anchor Marichka Padalko, she was giving a news update on the coronavirus crisis on Ukrainian television when she felt a tooth come loose while she was speaking, Steve.
Yeah, I got this a load of times, and I said, she's an amateur.
Same thing that happened to you. Video shows she caught the tooth and continued talking as if nothing had happened. Many people continued watching, unaware that one of her front teeth was missing, but some viewers noticed and posted about it on social media.
I pointed out that I was a badass because it was a straw that took my tooth out.
Padalko saw what people were saying and replied, yes, I really lost part of my front tooth during the broadcast today. This is probably my most curious experience in 20 years as a presenter. She later explained that it had likely happened as a result of an accident which happened more than 10 years earlier involving her young daughter.
There was years ago on Eyewitness News in New York, there was a dude, one of the old newscasters, the old anchors, his entire bridge came out.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he was like one of these kind of things, you know, and he just could not continue the news.
Oops.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. One last story. You'll like this, Steve. There's loving John Wick.
Yes.
And then there's Our international drug smuggling concern was potentially brought down because we wanted to slip a cute little reference to John Wick in our cover story situation. So, it's a drug bust that recently happened in Italy, in which Italian cops discovered a bag filled with coffee beans that had all been cut open, hollowed out, filled with cocaine, and then resealed to hide the drugs. The scheme was undermined and discovered because cops noticed that the fake name they slapped on the coffee bag, Santino D'Antonio,
yes,
was also the name of the sleazy bad guy Ricardo Scaramiccio plays in John Wick Chapter 2.
Yes.
So they picked up on that name
that
alone,
reference, and they, wow.
And they were like, this isn't real. And they looked, and sure enough, full of drugs. So that was their undoing. Yep. All right, and then one last story, and there's a video of this. Chloe Mesumeci sent a video of a woman tripping and falling as a bison charges at her and another person in Yellowstone National Park. When she hit the ground, she played dead.
Did it work?
And it worked, Steve. Chloe said in an email Friday the incident happened at Nez Perce Creek.
Yeah.
She said the woman is a Montana local, so she knew to play dead in that situation. The woman was reportedly uninjured and escaped without a scratch. No further information about the couple charged by the bison was immediately available. But it's funny because she hits and boom, she stays still.
Wow.
And they leave her alone.
There have been a number of stories recently about people getting far too close to these bison.
Yeah, they get gored.
They're getting gored.
He charges her. And then as soon as she falls and plays dead, he just kind of sniffs her and like runs away.
Yep. Oh, my God. Jesus. Oh, Christ. Yeah, I got a word for you. It's called douche.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's some nasty smelling stuff out on the plains there. But
yeah.
Come on.
I live in the wild and nothing I've ever smelled smells like your crotch.
Oh, it does work, though. That thing, you know, we were watching the footage. You got to realize this thing is a car with legs.
Yes.
Just stay on the trails. Stay away from wildlife.
You know. Oh, they're so pretty.
God, I hate these people so much.
I know, man.
Well, they're also going to get the animal killed.
Yes.
Did you guys see, and they were on the trail, where the bear, there were like two women that were standing there, and a bear walked up to them and was basically swatting at the one.
Ooh, kind of inspect.
I'm a human. Look.
It was kind of like that because the bear stood up on the hind legs.
Looked like it was mocking the humans.
And it's kind of inspecting her.
Look, I'm a tourist. Oh.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Because they're walking along and they're unaware.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm on vacation. Huh?
The one girl basically turned her back on the bear like, I can't see you.
Right.
Have you seen the footage of the bear? It's from a security camera in a living room.
Goes into the house.
And the door goes, and the frame gets blown right off, and the door has just been pushed in by the bear.
Yeah, it's like the cops were about ready to raid a drug house.
Bear squad.
It flies open. The door absolutely shoots open. And then he just kind of wanders in.
They do have that kind of look, right?
They do.
Yep. All right. So we are going to take a break, but we're going to get a winner for our secret text word. And Kathy's responsibility is to give you the number caller. What will it be?
25.
Caller 25, 215-263-WMMR. Call if you only have the secret text word, and we'll get a random text or two. So let's find out who our winners are when we return. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're looking for our secret text word. Caller, it was number 25, and that's who we're going to. And that's Tina. Hi there, Tina.
Hi, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Tina, do me a favor and tell me what the secret text word is.
Jumbo.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
That's correct, yes. Oh, it's right here.
I am
the god of hellfire.
All right.
And I bring you fire.
Tina, hang on. Hit the wrong button. Because you see, you win a fire stick, and that's why yeah, Casey sent up this
but
song.
But Swan shouldn't have.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
All right.
I totally thought you did that on purpose. I was like, I love it.
No. It works, though. It works. Not really, but it does. So we have a free month of Philo and an Amazon Fire TV stick. And it's Christmas in July on Hallmark Channel with holiday movies 24/7 through Sunday. Catch Christmas at the Plaza, Christmas Under Wraps, A Christmas Duet, and more when you sign up for Philo, the most affordable way to watch live on and on-demand TV for more than 50 channels, including Hallmark and Nickelodeon. Visit philo.tv/Christmas in July, by the way. And we also grabbed a random texter, and that is from Sherry. It is Sherry Ivers from Quakertown.
Hey!
Cute town. So she gets the same thing. Congratulations to you. I would like to point out there's a new Daily Rush video.
Hey!
Available for your viewing consumption. And Nick Murphy and the gang came up with the title Michigan for this one.
It's our 51st state.
It's called Michigan.
Yeah.
And it says there aren't enough life jerkets in all of Michigan. And you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. It was a day where I couldn't say anything correctly.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So watch that when you get a chance. All right, lesson question time. And we are going to give away digital download of Caddyshack. The question I have for you this morning is, what dessert item preceded hot dogs for Dollar Dog Night? You just hold out your hand. 215-263-WMMR. What dessert item preceded hot dogs for Dollar Dog Night? 215-263-WMMR. You know the answer. Call now, and we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see what we get today. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow singing the praises of bamboo fiber bed sheets, which she's just started selling on her website, Goop. Paltrow says they are incredibly cheap and comfortable with just a minimal risk of panda molestation.
Oh, my God.
Prince Harry is firing back at claims that he mishandled hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of royal funds. Harry reportedly became irate over the accusation when he was confronted outside of a business that was monogramming his new submarine.
Hey!
And finally, great news for Game of Thrones fans as the new prequel show, House of the Dragon, has officially started casting.
Yes.
According to George R.R. Martin, the series will take place 300 years before Game of Thrones and about 100 years after the Flintstones. And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, we shall see if we can get an answer to this question. What dessert item preceded hot dogs for Dollar Dog Night? And I am going to Sean for the answer. Hey, Sean.
Hey, ham-ass.
What's up? What was it? Pork dog?
What's up, pork dog?
What's up, pork dog? What dessert item preceded hot dogs for Dollar Dog Night?
Pudding.
Pudding.
Hey!
Hang on, Sean. We got you, man. We are going to set you up with, what the hell are we going to give it?
A
digital download of Caddyshack and the Golf Comedy Classic starring Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Bill Murray, and the Pesky Gopher celebrates its 40th anniversary this month. You can own the Blu-ray and digital movie now. We're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, I got a few things to pass along to you. We'll begin with this. Guns N' Roses will announce the rescheduled dates to its 2020 tour, and they're going to do it on Monday, the 27th, this coming Monday.
Any projected time frame?
No. They had posted that the band's dates were set to kick off on July 4th in Milwaukee and run through August 26th, but were put on ice back in May due to the ongoing pandemic. So I don't know what their plans are as from when they're going to launch next year. But an email was sent to ticket holders, which read in part, Dear Guns N' Roses and Guns N' Roses fans and ticket holders, we want to let you know that the event organizer is working on rebooking a tour for 2021, which includes your event. You'll receive another email from us on July 27th with the full details for 2021. Hang on to your tickets in the next update. You receive from us will include information on how to obtain a refund should you be unable to make the new event date. At that time, all fans will be given 30 days to request a refund. Thank you for your patience and understanding. We look forward to gathering and celebrating the live experience.
All you need is a little patience.
Well, I was picking up on that, too. So we'll find out down the road.
I like Axl's new Peloton commercial. No, I'm kidding.
Breaking Benjamin posted a never-before-seen video in honor of their canceled summer tour with Bush. The video, shared on both the band's YouTube and Instagram pages, shows the group's cover of Alice in Chains' Wood with special guest Gavin Rossdale. The performance was captured during Breaking Benjamin's co-headlining tour with Korn, February 29th of this year. And they wrote, thanks to Gavin Rossdale of Bush for joining us on stage earlier this year to cover a classic. And thanks to all of you for your undying, unending dedication and support. Seether bassist Dale Stewart is frustrated that the band can't tour in support of their new album. He said it's frustrating to have a new album that you worked really hard on and you're really proud of, and you can't wait for people to hear this thing, and you can't wait to go out and play these songs for the people.
I want to go tour.
The group's eighth LP, Si Vis Pecum Parabellum, is due out August 28th via Fantasy Records.
You know who has a hard time saying that album?
Yeah, Jackie Bam Jackie Bam. Bam.
Bam. Oh, no.
Yeah, Sarah. From Pachydermis Portobellum. It's off the new album, Pachydermis Porcadella.
I like Pachydermis Portobello.
It's from Pachydermis Portobello.
In fairness, it's a phrase in Latin. It's
it is a
easy.
Weird phrase.
Yeah, it's, I guess, peace and war, right? Contradicting the two in Latin, but Jackie struggles.
He can't even say kayak.
No, cannot.
Kayak.
Kayak. Spend some time out on the lake on my kayaki.
I love him.
On my bukkake.
Oh, man.
Just taking the afternoon.
All right, Joey Armstrong, son of Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong, responded to the allegations of sexual misconduct made against him by Lydia Knight. In a social media post, the Regrets singer described herself as being the victim of, quote, emotional abuse and sexual coercion by someone in a position of power over me. Now, he wrote on Instagram, I want to address Lydia's Instagram post about our relationship. While I don't agree with some of the things she said about me, it's important that she be allowed to say them and that she be supported for speaking out. I respect her immensely and fully accept that I failed her as a partner. I was selfish and didn't treat her the way she deserves to have been treated, both during our relationship and in the 2 years since we broke up. I have apologized to her privately, and I hope she can forgive me if and when she is ready to do so. I own my mistakes and will work hard to regain the trust that I lost. So that's all he had to say about that. In celebration of the 40th anniversary of their 1980 Back in Black album, AC/DC has just posted a vintage video of the band performing the album's You Shook Me All Night Long on YouTube. And the clip was shot February 4th, 1981 at Tokyo, Japan's Nihon Senenkan. Blabbermouth reported that back in December, the RIAA verified the album 25 times platinum. Back in Black, which was released on July 25th, 1980, marked the band's first follow-up following the death of frontman Bon Scott, with Gordy lead singer Brian Johnson replacing him. So they have a vintage track that you can check out. And speaking of tracks like that, Scarlet breaks out of the vault for multi-format and deluxe reissue of Goat's Head Soup from the Stones. So the Stones have unearthed this song, Scarlet, featuring Jimmy Page.
So it's the Stones and Jimmy Page?
Yeah, as well as late bass great Rick Gretsch, who used to play with Traffic and Blind Faith.
Goat's Head Soup.
And it was recorded October 1974.
They serve it at the last stand.
Mick had said, I remember first jamming this with Jimmy and Keith in Ronnie's basement studio, and it was a great session. And do we have some of it?
We do.
So
I can play it. You know what? Let me, I'll just play it here.
Okay. So Jimmy Page. Interesting.
Funky.
Okay.
like chorus. The release.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
The release special packages will feature 10 bonus tracks.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Mick Jagger is Billy Madison. Yeah. Wow. The release.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
The release special packages will feature 10 bonus tracks, including previously unreleased track All the Rage and the recently surfaced Criss Cross.
Christopher Cross?
No, not Christopher Cross. It's called Criss Cross.
Okay.
And that is what I have in music news for you this morning. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. We're going to wrap it up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week. That is on the way, too. And we'll say hello to one Mr. Pierre Robert. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration and complete details at WMMR.com, and check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bolay and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
Wednesday morning, getting ready to wrap up our program for today. And I want to thank you for being on the show today. We took a lot of phone calls. We had some good conversations. And we're supposed to have Kreischer on, but... Don't know what happened. Bert's a friend, so I'm sure it's nothing on purpose.
There's a myriad of things that could happen in the world of Bert Kreischer that would keep him from getting to the phone.
I don't even want to think about what the possibilities could be. But, you know, we'll see about getting him on at a later date. But in the meantime, we do have Pierre Robert. We got that going for us, which is nice.
There's a big thrill.
Yeah, what a thrill. How you doing, man?
You like that new Stone song?
Yeah, it's cool, right? Cool. It was very cool. I love that you previewed it, and then I didn't expect that you would actually play it, too, which was cool. Very cool. Nice. Good for you.
Nice. Shall we do the letter?
I'm thinking that.
Wow, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
I as in illegitimate.
All right. And we just have two more to go, and then we give away our prize, which just so happens to be a pair of Ron Jaworski golf passports. Each passport entitles you to 8 rounds of golf. That is one at each of his 6 course locations, the local ones, a 7th bonus round locally, and the 8th round at Honey Run in York, PA. And some restrictions apply. Ron Jaworski golf passport is the MMR big friggin' deal this week. And that means you can get it now at WMMR.com. Use the keyword deal. Supplies are very limited. This one usually sells out quickly. It's 8 rounds of golf for $89. It's an unbelievable price. Shipping is included. So go to WMMR.com to get the details and to buy it. Everything good in your world?
Very good.
Nice. Excellent. What's up on the show today, then?
Well, we've got... everybody, when they put these reissued albums out, they're really fun because, like Goat's Head Soup, which is coming in September, just recently out is Working Man's Dead, the 50th anniversary of that Grateful Dead album. So I've got the digital download of the reissued version of that to give away today. We also have Workforce Blocks of the Foo Fighters, Allman Brothers, and Pearl Jam, Nicholas.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Maybe do something off their new record.
Oh, yes. You know? What would you like to hear?
I don't know. I'll think about it, but I'll get back to you.
Supermoon Wolfblood?
Sure, why not?
All right, let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show's...
Superblood Moonwolf.
What's that?
Moonwolf.
Super Wolf Whoopie Pie.
Thank you.
That's
how would Jackie pronounce it?
Kayak.
Sorry.
Kayak. our sponsors, the President and Steve Show, brought to you today by Acme Markets, fresh food, local flavors. Also, Dunkin', the official coffee of the President and Steve Show. And HERS, the official snack food of summer. Tomorrow on our program, Let's see if we can get Bert Kreischer back on. We have Kim Fields, Tootie, from the Facts of Life will be joining us. And we also have the Preston and Steve Cooling Caravan with Duncan headed out and about to some workplaces. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Why at any time of the f***ing day, any day of the week, can I get any kind of goddamn breakfast I want? I can get pancakes. I can get a muffin. I can get a biscuit. Can I get a f***ing bagel? No! What do you got against f***ing bagels?
Next message. I'm finally getting a haircut. 5 months. My last one. I love you, Leah.
Next message.
Oh, man, it's hot out here. Yeah, no f***ing. If one more asshole tells me that it's hot out here, I'm going to snap a gasket. It's the middle of July, almost August, you douchebag. Wait till 3 months and you're crying. I'm freezing. Oh, my God. Shut the f*** up and go to eat.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.